CSL4 facilities, I have no legitimate scientific or medical purpose at all. They have one purpose, and that is to research, develop, test, use, stockpile offensive biological weapons.
Purely offensive.
Purely offensive, although they try to justify it by saying, oh, we're developing vaccines. Well, that might be true, Alex, but the way this is done is they first DNA genetically engineer the offensive agent to kill people.
We have the Biological Weapons Convention, which the United States initiated, which went into force in 1975 and says you cannot develop or manufacture biological weapons. You can only do research that in the end will have a defensive purpose, not an offensive purpose. And so I wonder if these folks thought they might be crossing that line.
For years, if you even brought up the possibility of a U.S.-funded biolab in Ukraine, you were told you were pushing Russian disinformation.
U.S. officials are warning that this new fake narrative about these biolabs could be Russia setting the pretense for an attack of its own.
Well, there are public health labs, mostly, also animal health labs.
Russia has a history also of inventing outright lies like this, which is the suggestion that the United States has a chemical and biological weapons program, or Ukraine does, that they're operating. Russia is the one, is the country that has a chemical and biological weapons program. So the objective was to make clear the inaccuracy of the information, the misinformation they're trying to put out.
Now, until now, evidence regarding the full existence and funding of these laboratories had been knowingly withheld from you, the American people. Many of these U.S. government-funded biolabs are currently or have previously engaged in research using hazardous and highly contagious pathogens, and in some cases included dangerous gain-of-function research with very little visibility or oversight.
And so they tried to deny these were there, but then Victoria Nuland admitted it.
Ukraine has biological research facilities, which, in fact, we are now quite concerned Russian troops, Russian forces may be seeking to gain control of. So we are working with the Ukrainians on how they can prevent any of those research materials from falling into the hands of Russian forces.
This should be coming from Todd Blanche. It should be coming from somebody at, you know, either some specific part, national security end of DOJ, or maybe it comes from the FBI. Why are we hearing it from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, who does not have a law enforcement mission?
Here at ODNI, I issued new guidance to the intelligence community directing increased collection on these laboratories and facilities overseas. We're learning new details, for example, on clinical trials that are underway at these facilities and that are raising significant ethical, financial, and security concerns regarding the supposed public health initiatives and U.S. national security.
Bio labs funded by the United States of America in places like Ukraine. What's your reaction?
This isn't breaking news. It's great that we finally have confirmation. That's the critical part here. Tulsi, if you'll remember, has been blowing the whistle on this for years, since 2022.
The gain of function research that in the case of the Wuhan lab, as well as many others around, many of these other biolabs around the world, was actually U.S. funded.
To call me a treasonous liar was saying, hey, there are U.S. funded, DOD funded biolabs in Ukraine that should be secured because there's a war going on over there, and the last thing we or the world needs is anything going on in those biolabs being unleashed.
They're tacitly admitting, like, yeah, there's a bunch of bad stuff. We're going to tell you what it is, but we're also hoping that that's enough for you, that there's not going to be prosecutions. There's not going to be justice. There's not going to be people who are removed from their offices over this.
It's worse than that. Google, Apple, all of them are still giving money to Wuhan and all these other bioweapon labs. They're still doing, Bill Gates is still running around behind the scenes. They're still there, active and operating. Fauci openly perjuring himself to Congress. Where are the this is a literal mad scientist, Dr. Frankenstein, running around creating more Frankensteins, and the clock's ticking here. Like she said, this is world-ending.
Now in the 21st century, it's time to stand up and realize that we should not allow ourselves to be crammed into this rat maze. We should not submit to dehumanization. The 21st century is going to be a new century. Not the century of slavery. Not the century of lies, issues of no significance, and classism, and statism, and all the rest of the modes of control. It's going to be the age of humankind standing up for something pure and something right.
I have sworn upon the altar of God eternal hostility against every form of tyranny over the mind of man.
I want freedom! That's what I want! And that's what you should want!
You're listening to Alex Jones.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it!
AlexJonesLive.com. Tomorrow's news today.
Welcome, everyone, to the War Room. Today is June 15th, 2026. I'm your host, Rob Due. Thank you for joining me. Got to pull my chair up a little bit. And, wow, what a Sunday. What a weekend, actually. We had a lot of crazy videos. We had Sean Strickland getting kicked out of the UFC event. He got snuck in, or somebody let him in, and you can see right there. Well, guys, see if you could go back and just freeze frame it. Let's count the number of police it took to escort Sean Strickland out of that event. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 14 that we can see in that image. 14 police officers to... No, wait, there's one behind it. It's 15. There's a little guy right behind Sean with glasses, a little bald guy with glasses. 15 officers. Looks like there's probably Secret Service, county, and then regular police to escort a UFC champion. Oh, there's another guy in the shot, too. So we could say nearly 20 officers it takes to remove a guy. Why? Because he criticized Israel in a X post. And for that, he didn't get asked to fight. And then they banned him from the event. And he's literally the middleweight champion right now. He's like the number, usually the middleweights in UFC are the most popular for some reason, the middleweight guys. And, there he is being escorted out. He gets put in a paddy wagon. Alex Jones reported last night that he was, arrested, and people are like, no, he's not arrested. When you're put in the back of a van, even if you don't have cuffs on, you're being detained. You're not free to go. Okay. Which are the two qualifications for being arrested is, am I being detained? Am I free to go? And they stick him in the back of a paddy wagon. So he's being detained. He's not free to go. He's arrested right there. I love this though. they even had, I don't know if somebody made this with AI, like if they cut this out or not, but Matt Baker, posted this image right here. Sean Strickland is the champion America deserves. So I don't know if that was an original White House thing that they did this when they were first promoting the UFC White House event. But, there it is. Yeah. He is the guy. This is our champion right now. Right now, he's the guy leading the way. And we have a lot of people. I have a couple videos. Well, you know what? Let's play this one first. I have an update. This was on the top of my stack, and then it got put on the bottom. But I've got some breaking news on Jamie White's murder. Rodney Hill, the man who murdered Jamie White in cold blood, shooting him through the neck, accepted a 25-year plea deal to avoid trial. I guess, you know, after he saw what happened up in Dallas, he saw that and he's like, wait, well, maybe these juries aren't going to, you know, just because I'm a minority, I'm black, you know, maybe I can't get away with this. But Rodney Hill accepted a 25-year plea deal to avoid trial. Sentencing is scheduled for July 7th. And what this does, when you do a plea deal, or when you accept a settlement, there's no appeal. So he can't come back and go, oh, I want to appeal my conviction. No, there was no conviction. You accepted a deal. So if nothing else, he's at least going to do 12 and a half years, which isn't nearly long enough, for taking Jamie away from our organization, from life and from his family, especially his family. You know, Jamie was a guy who was, really coming into himself, you know, working here at InfoWars and just all the things he was into. He was, just a great guy. And the fact that we're seeing some justice. And I guess I hosted on last Wednesday when the, was Carmelo Anthony trial and they convicted him, but they hadn't put out the sentencing yet. And I said, you know, I think they're going to give him 8 years just because I've lost a little hope in the justice system. I've lost a little bit of hope in people being held accountable because we just see, you know, our leaders, public servants, getting away with whatever they want. You know, we just played the report, arrest Fauci already. Or that was played earlier today. I was putting everything together and I wasn't watching the John Bowne report, but it was that the arrest Fauci report that we played, crew? That was, yeah. That's what I was messing with my headset and I wasn't listening to it, but I was watching it up on stage or up here from the desk and just watching how these guys get away with whatever they want and we have to just accept it. But now we're seeing, you know, a little bit of accountability, 25 years with, you know, people get off on parole after serving half their sentence. That's not nearly enough for killing somebody. But we are seeing a little bit of justice. And I think after the Carmelo Anthony trial, I think the writing was on the wall for Mr. Hill going, I better accept this plea deal or they might give me 50 years and then I'll have to do 25. So. We got one thug off the streets. One murderous, thieving little thug is gone. And our prayers go out to Jamie White's family. And God rest Jamie White. Senator Mitch McConnell was hospitalized on Sunday morning. His office made an announcement without specifying the cause. Obviously, he looks like he's doing terrible. He has these freeze moments where he can't answer questions. And this in 2023, he froze twice and he has suffered multiple falls. He's being confined to a wheelchair. In February, he's hospitalized with flu-like symptoms, probably a fallout of the COVID vaccine. I'm sure he probably listened to his doctor and his doctor's like, well, we gotta kill off the old people. So here you go. Take one for the team, but let's go back to the UFC and another person who's no longer with us, Charlie Kirk. This is his reaction to it. And then I'm going to get to some other reactions from the left, especially Harry Sisson. We'll get to him coming up as well. That's a beautiful shot right there, though. There's a great still of that I had, that I just think really captures, like, it makes you proud to be at, you know, living in a country that has a lot of freedom. And, you know, you want more. We want more freedom. We don't want less freedom in this country. I'll find that during this video. But here's Charlie Kirk talking about how he was really looking forward to the UFC event and, you know, seeing it for what it was, a place for Americans to come together and really celebrate how great this country is. You know, the band was playing the military band was playing all the fight songs that the fighters were using to take their entrance. We had the Falcon. We had the jets fly over, just definitely, bread and circuses. And it's on the heels of at least Trump being able to announce there's a peace deal, which, you know, I think we all know how that's going to go. But, here's Charlie Kirk.
it's not all business, and politics doesn't have to be boring. You know, we're going to have fight night next July 4th on the White House lawn. Hey. I mean, there's something to be said for that.
Oh, there's something to be said for it. Look, I don't ask for a lot of favors out of the White House. Every so often I'll ask for something. No. I'm asking for front row seats. I don't think, maybe second row I'll go with. I'll say, hey guys, of all the different things, I want to be at this UFC fight. I'm going to bring my wife. I'm going to kind of call them whatever favor I have to be there, because UFC fight night on the White House lawn to celebrate 250th birthday, World Cup tickets, that doesn't mean anything. Fight night. That's where I'm calling in the favor.
Yeah, they used to think the Tyson fight was where it's at, all those celebrities looking to be seen. The octagon on the lawn, oh my God, it's going to be a who's who.
It won't be the rumble in the jungle. It'll be something in the swamp. It'll be something to see.
That'll be great. Charlie Kirk, good to see you. And
the stomp in the swamp. And there's the falcon. That's the eagle. It's the bald eagle flying in on the falconer's arm. And let me tell you, you got to have a special pair of cojones to have a predatory bird like that with those claws flying right at you going, oh, I'm just going to let you land on my hand. RFK Jr. does that. But here's that picture. I found that. And this is, people just celebrating America and what it is. And, they've had events out on the White House lawn before. And like Alex was saying today, it used to be open to the public. You could go picnic on the White House lawn. But, now we have to have crazy people running everything so we don't get to have fun things like that. And there's the dichotomy of, there's the trans gay event that's going on a couple years ago with Biden where he had, I always forget if it's a trans woman, you're becoming a man, or if it's a trans man, it was a woman becoming a man. Well, this is a man becoming a woman who had fake boobs and like literally undressed herself on the White House grounds. And they took, they had pictures of it and it got put out, and of course they tried to downplay it. Of course, Karine Jean-Pierre tried to downplay that. And, if that happened anywhere, under any other group, it would have been insane. But here's what, I like this. Disgraced propagandist wrote this. UFC event marks solidification of an entirely alternate male-centric culture economy that the modern leftist simply has no answer for at all. Enduril, Monster, Starlink brands on the floor of the octagon sponsor Polymarket bets pop up at interstitials with a sponsor MetaThreads, Zuckerberg shaking hands in the audience, each fighter's entrance music, song played live by the U.S. military marching band, blood smeared all over the Bud Light logo, all in the heart of D.C., yet absolutely not one iota of social equity in sight. Total American kulak chud victory. Very impressive. Which contradicts... Well, here's another good meme. There's the lady in the green jacket. I guess it's a lady. I don't know, but screaming the no with Trump. That was the right to bear memes. But I want to go to Harry Sisson because he put out a video, and then we'll play what really pissed him off. I think we'll show that video first. Harry Sisson's reaction to this, because they were looking for any excuse to flip out about America and just have a, conniption fit. And this gave him that opportunity. Alex Jones posted this morning. And it's Harry Sisson. This is from, I don't know if you guys have it. Are you guys showing me things because you don't have it? If you don't have it, there it is. Okay, you guys do have it. All right. Yeah, here's Harry Sisson's meltdown. Calls for censorship over the Michelle Obama is a man comment. But, obviously, he probably would have been like, how could we have bald eagles flying in D.C. without transponders? It would have been anything, any reason. And this was it, which I think it was a good reason for the left to freak out because, we should boil this controversy up to the front again so we could just keep posting memes about it. And but here's Fraulein Sisson talking about it.
One of Donald Trump's UFC fighters just screamed, "Michelle Obama is a man," into the microphone after winning his fight at the White House. Just incredibly disgusting.
And lastly, Michelle Obama is a man. Am I right, America?
I am appalled and disgusted like any American out there. Idiots like this shouldn't have a platform to say stuff like this. And the fact that it's taking place at the White House, the People's House, is even worse.
I like his
it's a desecration of the jaw.
So there it is. That was today, actually. Or that was, yeah, I think that was today. That was today. That was, out there when you type in Sisson and UFC, that was the top one. So, you know, and that's the one thing we don't, you know, we don't celebrate our country enough. We think, oh, you know, we're looking for all the bad things and want to complain about. And there's plenty to complain about. And I'll be doing a lot of complaining today, but I'm also, I've got some videos because of this World Cup going on of foreigners traveling around, you know, seeing the country and going, wow, you know, and just marveling at our, not necessarily our excess, but our abundance. You know, when the first Thanksgiving happened, they did it because they had an abundance of food and they were thankful for what they had received. They were thankful for the Indians helping them, you know, grow food. They were thankful they were able to start building a civilization and escape religious persecution. And so I've got some of those videos that, that I think are really interesting, but let's go. This is what the libtards, the dimtards did as counter programming. They had rise up. Rise up, rise upping and out. I can't even rise up, sing out. That's what it was. Riseupsingout.com is what they had. I don't even know. Like, how do you find, let's come up with riseupsingout.com. Okay. So here's Bette Midler, Dimtardian fossil Bette Midler, leading the charge. Here it is.
Oh, you fascists bound to lose. You're bound to lose. Hey there, all you fascists, let me put you straight. When you come for the rest of us, we'll fight you at the gate and you will lose. You fascists bound to lose. All you fascists bound to lose.
That's our enemy. They can't even do good songs when they try.
You fascists bound to lose.
Yeah, let's hear it again. I mean, who, where are these fascists at? I don't understand. I mean, was it?
We'll fight you at the gate and you will lose. You fascists bow to lose.
I mean, I guess that's what you get when you get fascism. You get UFC on the White House lawn. So let's look at this. This is actually the clip that caused everybody to freak out. This is Josh Hokett calling Michelle Obama a man after winning at UFC Freedom 250. So first he calls out Trump for having the balls to put on an event like this. And then he calls Michelle Obama a man. So here it is.
And lastly, Michelle Obama is a man. Am I right, America?
You see Joe going, oh God, I'm going to be, couched into this. Cause he didn't know what he was saying right there. See if y'all can find the last frame of Rogan. He's like, oh God, I'm never going to be able to live this down. Keep going forward on it. Go to the very last one. You can see his face kind of changes. Well, let's go. You know, this is something we've talked about for years. And you can see the smile is starting to creep away. We've talked about it for years, and it was, I think the person who put it on the map was Joan Rivers. Let's go to the Joan Rivers clip. Y'all didn't play this one today, but she was walking in somewhere and she was, she just officiated a gay wedding or something. So she's a liberal, definite liberal. And then she made what she says was a joke, but you know, things in truth are said in jest, as William Shakespeare once wrote. So let's go to the Joan Rivers clip.
News, officiating the wedding in New York yesterday. Is this like a new cottage career move for you?
I am so excited. Okay. And I should do very well because I don't charge.
And do you think that the country will see the first, the United States will see the first gay president or the first woman president?
We already have it with Obama, so let's just calm down.
Got it.
You know Michelle is a trans.
I'm sorry, she's a what?
a transgender. We all know.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, gosh. It's okay. She does it.
So, and that clip appeared, and then a few, I don't know if it was a year later or 6 months later, but it was kind of after that. We got an email, and this is actually a few months after she died. Joan Rivers died when she was in surgery. And I think she was getting some plastic surgery done because she was known to do that. And we got an email from somebody who was in the operating room. And this person said, you know, I gotta maintain my anonymity. But he goes, something happened in there. And at one point it was gas or fluid or something. Something ignited from something on her face. And they said fire shot out of her mouth. Like literally they said a fire breathing dragon. The quote, fire breathing dragon was, and I remember reading that because I got the email and I printed it out and brought it to Alex. I'm like, this is crazy. You got to see this. And that kind of kicked off the whole controversy. But then you have videos like this where it looks like she's adjusting things in her pants, dancing around, something shaking. And so, you know, the jury is out, but you know, I posted a little bit ago before I came on the air today, and we got time to play this as we go to break. Let's play the Michelle Obama or Big Mike trailer. This is what people were producing 2 years ago.
The chef of a prominent figure was found dead today in what appears to be a paddleboarding accident. Find out whose chef it was tonight at 10.
Welcome to Martha's Vineyard. Are you our new chef?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm John.
Have you met Michelle yet?
Hello? Someone there? No, I haven't had the pleasure.
Just make sure you get her steak by noon.
I've been getting some weird vibes here. Feels like I'm seeing things I'm not supposed to see. I don't think these people are who everyone thinks they are.
Starring Terry Crews.
Enjoying the view of my Michael. I mean, Michelle.
I understand. Her name is not Michelle. It's
Big Mike.
And there's clips out there of Obama. Like what we just heard, calling Michelle Michael. Michael, he says, at least two different occasions. Do you make that mistake? No, it's not a mistake. I think it's subconscious. It's the subconscious wanting to tell the truth. So, but you never know. See if y'all can find the B-roll of somebody redid that hand for becoming Michelle Obama. I think it was becoming Michael. Anyway. We go out to the tunes of Bette Midler and how we're evil fascists because we just want to have a little bit of freedom.
Let me put you straight. When you come for the rest of us, we'll fight you at the gate and you will lose, you fascists.
Plug for about 90 seconds at the end of the first hour. Didn't plug any last hour. And I'd raise that point. I'd say, oh, not good. I didn't plug. It's bad. I didn't plug. But I didn't want to interrupt that guest. That's how we fund this operation. If I just plugged twice an hour, we've done the math, we'd have plenty of funds around this place. And I can then hire more crew, more stuff, but I don't do it, so we're almost in the red again. So be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny. And the products really work because we want to sell you something that is going to be great, that's good for you, that blows you away. So you go, man, that Alex Jones was right again. Not just about what he covers and says, but the products. Our T3 iodine is not instant gratification. It takes about 2 weeks on average for it to kick in. It is the missing link. Most people are iodine deficient. The iodine that's in the environment, most of it's bound, meaning it's not atomic. It's not pure on the periodic table. It is bound to a whole bunch of other stuff, and you don't absorb it properly. This is atomic iodine. It does everything. Now, again, you die without oxygen in 4 minutes. Everybody knows this. 4 minutes without oxygen, the average person's dead. Some people quicker. Without water, you die in about 4 days. Out in the desert today. Most people die in about 45 days without food. Now, why is that? Well, because the food has the vitamins and minerals in it. And I know I'm talking to you like you're 5 years old. I know most of you get this, but for others that don't. Iodine, you can look it up, is one of the essential elements that without iodine, you die. Now, in the 1920s, they noticed about a 15-20 point IQ reduction, particularly in the Midwest, and massive spikes nationwide of child deformities, birth defects. And they did a bunch of big government studies and found that people that lived on coastal cities and that ate a lot of fish had higher IQs and basically almost no deformities. And they went, oh, it's the iodine. So they started putting a cheap form that's bound, but you still get some of it, but sodium fluoride, I think it's the one, in the salts. When I was a kid, it still said Morton salts, iodine added. You know, the little girl with the umbrella, and it says when it rains, it pours. This is the super version of that. Just a few drops a day. It takes 2 weeks on average to kick in for the average person. And your skin, your stamina, your libido. I remember, like, gosh, time flies, like 18 years ago or something, I met Dr. Edward Grip, really smart guy, total visionary. And he said, listen, you need to start taking atomic iodine. And he'd come out with the only one. And he said, you should sell this private label. And I said, okay. He said, you know, you got some of those sunspots on your face. And I was like 38 then or so. And I didn't have bad skin, but I did have some sunspots, brown spots and stuff that weren't freckles. You know, we call them liver spots. And he said, all this other stuff will happen, your libido, everything. He goes, it's about 2 weeks for it to kick in. And right at about the 2 week mark of the average person, you'll kind of feel crappy for a day or two. It's not like you have a cold or the flu, but it's still kind of groggy and tired. That's when it shifts in the cells, the mitochondria. And then a lot of toxins will get pushed out. You might even break out or something. But he said, after that, you'll feel incredible. 2 weeks later, I go, man, I feel like crap today. I have no energy. Lasts about a day. And then when I woke up the next day after feeling sick the day before, it was like I'd been carrying, you know, one of my kids on my shoulders. I'd carry them, you know, they were like 5 or 6. Sometimes it'd be exhausting, but you take them on your shoulders, it feels so good. That's what it felt like. You're insane if you don't get this, and it funds our operation. And I only sell stuff that works, but it's not instant gratification. 2 weeks. Now be careful with it. Talk to your physician before, because if you've got some different thyroid issues, it can cause problems. In most cases, it helps, but talk to your physicians. This isn't a game. And so a small percentage of people that can do some weird stuff. So be careful. This isn't, I'm not selling placebo here. I only sell stuff that kick you like a mule in a good way. Be conscious about this and realize when you fund this operation, you are funding your insurance in the fight against tyranny.
Distinguished guests, and men and women of the finest military in the world. Most of all, Admiral Mullen, Deborah. Michael and I also want to acknowledge your son Jack, who's deployed today.
What?
All of you have performed extraordinary service to our country.
I walk with my husband Michael and hold hands. It's like a whole new world for me.
What did I just say?
Just walking and holding hands. Something that one of our fellow Americans for years could not do.
And distinguished guests and men and women of the finest military in the world. Most of all, Admiral Mullen, Deborah. Michael and I also want to acknowledge your son, Jack, who's deployed today. All of you have performed extraordinary service to our country.
Hell no!
So, there's a reason this controversy exists. There's some AI. Now, that's AI. We know that. That's all AI. Hoke it really didn't rip off the wig. But it's funny how this controversy, you know, when it rears its head, you get all the, you know, you get the dancing on the Ellen DeGeneres show. You get the coming out of Harvard. You get the Joan Rivers clip. I didn't see anybody showing the Big Mike trailer, though. So I was like, we got to show the Big Mike trailer. Yeah, we got to show people what's up. So now let's get into Iran, because we have some breaking news. This is first. This is from AlexJonesLive.com off Kellen McBreen's desk. Trump details Iran deal at G7. No nukes and conditional sanctions relief. The summary is Iran will not have a nuclear weapon under the new deal. But I thought they didn't have a nuclear weapon. But they do, of course. The agreement includes strong policy and enforcement powers. Trump, Obama's JCPOA was a horrible deal that led toward a bomb. Past U.S. payments to Iran were a failed bribe attempt. Sanctions relief will only happen if Iran complies with the terms. Iran gets no money or relief just for signing the deal. The deal has been electronically signed by Iran's Jalabaf, according to U.S. officials cited by CNBC. Opening the strait will take time due to mines and expected to increase in traffic in 1 to 2 weeks. Details will be released in 24 to 48 hours. Trump says ships are starting to move through the strait. J.D. Vance begins the optics roadshow. And then there's a 60-day toll-free Hormuz transit as hundreds of ships await reopening. So that's what we have there. But then we have, where did I put them? Here we go. Also from Alex Jones Live, peace at last. If this is the end of the war, Trump still has plenty of work left to do, which we've been saying, and we've had guests on that are saying this is not going to end. Also, Trump wants to end. He got a birthday call from Putin, and he says he wants to end the Ukraine war. And on top of that, oil prices are starting to tumble. They're down around $80 a barrel. Guys, see if you can get a current on that, and we'll post that up there to let people see what the current is. And then Ben-Gvir, 75-10. Wow. I mean, it's tumbled below. Where was it? Guys, go to the 1 month. Let's see what the 1 month is. Click on that. Let's show people the 1 month. Yeah, $100 1 month ago, above $100. So it was like up to 104. Now we're down to 75 in a month. Obvious market manipulation, because the price of oil should not be fluctuating that much. And I'm sure people are making deals on the volatility, especially people who are getting word of these announcements beforehand. They don't seem to be stopping with the insider trading. But here's Ben-Gvir, the number two in Israel, also on Alex Jones Live. Trump's agreement does not bind us. So they don't want to be included in this agreement. They're saying it doesn't bind us. Israel's not subject to the United States. We're an independent sovereign nation. Our duty is to the citizens of Israel, to the soldiers of the IDF, and to the Jewish people. Each time we succumb to international pressure at the expense of Israeli security, we paid a blood price and interest, especially when they stood down on October 7th. They definitely paid the price. Well, their citizens paid the price. But then we have this ex post from Sulaiman Ahmed breaking. Netanyahu says he does not agree with Trump's Iran deal. He told Trump, we have our own interests. Yeah, their interest is grabbing more land. That's what they want to do. So that's why they don't want to leave Lebanon. They're going to stay up there. And I think we have a video of this, of Netanyahu saying this. Let's roll it. Okay. Yeah, so he says that this agreement was made by the United States, by the President of the United States, and he believes he can achieve both supervision and dismantling of the nuclear program. I said that is his decision. I repeat, that is his decision. He is leading it. Of course, I express my own views in various conversations. And on the other hand, I said that we have our own interests. So we know where this is going. We could tell there's nothing happening on the side of Israel. They're not interested in peace. Here's that video. Mr. Prime Minister, you said that you are not committed to the Lebanon clause in this agreement. Are you committed to the Iran deal in this agreement? Again, this agreement was made by the United States, by the President of the United States. He thinks that he can really combine both the demilitarization of Egypt and the cancellation of the nuclear program. And I said it's his decision. I repeat, it's his decision. He is leading this, and I have, of course, expressed my opinion in various conversations. On the other hand, I said that we have our own interests. So it'd be interesting to see what he said after that, if y'all can find what's left after that. And let's go. Here's Trump. This is clip 22. In fact, we'll play 22 and 23 back-to-back because he also trashes Obama, probably blaming him for the original Iran deal where they were sending pallets of money to him. Biden sent billions of dollars to him, and then, like, right after that, October 7th happened. And I think it was less than a year later. And we know Israel was paying Hamas billions of dollars over the years. And they wonder why, oh, it's a big surprise. We got attacked. We've been giving you more money. Who knew? Oh, stop. And what are they doing since then? They're not just, gaining revenge on Hamas. They're grabbing territory. Okay, here you go. You gotta pull that up on full screen. Oh, here you go. He did not want to overthrow the Iranian regime. He said that one of the objectives of the operation was, I did not say that one of the objectives. Yeah, they were calling for regime change the whole time. So it's revisionist history from the Israelis, as usual. I mean, they would just want to do what's going to benefit them, and to hell with the rest of the world. They got their nuclear missiles. You know, Pakistan and the United States. Well, Pakistan was arming the Middle East with nukes, Saudi Arabia, whatnot. We were giving stuff to Israel. We flew the heavy water to Russia back in the 50s from a Montana air base. We flew the components for the Russians to make the bomb. So we're just as responsible for the nuclear proliferation. But I think the idea, this is what I imagine the idea was. I don't know this for a fact, that, if they arm the Russians, we can have this Cold War, which won't be a hot war. And for a while, that kind of worked. It was just small conflicts. It wasn't big fights like what we're seeing now. So it worked for a few years, but, all it did was at the end of the day, I don't think any of these sides really want peace. They like fighting with each other. But here, let's go to Trump. Here's Trump confirming the Iran memo is all signed. Here it is.
So, Emmanuel has been a special friend of mine. We've had a fantastic relationship. We've worked on many deals together. I'm very happy to signed. The deal's all signed. And the strait is already partially opened. As you know, they're doing a little hunting for a couple of mines that they've already found. But it's essentially ships are starting to go out now. On Friday, it'll be completely opened. We got along very well with Iran. It's a different set of leaders. As you know, the first set is gone. The second set is gone. And we found the third set to be very smart, strong, very smart. But we ended up making a deal. I felt badly that we had to go back on the attack for two nights. And I thought a third, but we made it before that happened. But I think a lot of great things are going to happen in the Middle East right now. And very importantly, the oil is plummeting down. And the stock market is shooting up like a rocket today, like record kind of numbers. And the oil has taken its biggest plunge, and we're into the low numbers. Not quite back yet, Kevin, to the extent, but we're getting close to the numbers we were before it all started. And the main thing is that Iran will not have a nuclear weapon. They fully agreed to that with strong policing powers, and they won't have a nuclear weapon, which is what it was all about, because they probably would have used it if they had it. So we had two big moments. When they terminated the JCPOA, that was the Obama deal, the Barack Hussein Obama deal. And when I terminated that, it was very important because it was a road to a nuclear weapon. $1.7 billion was taken out of the banks and given to Iran. And on top of that, tens of billions of dollars was spent So they tried to bribe them to make a deal. That didn't work. It never works. And we've done a great job. And hopefully it's going to be a good relationship and we're going to get along. And if we don't, we go back to where we started. But I don't think that's going to be necessary. The Iran deal that we made is going to bring a lot of success to the world because the oil was really clogged up there for a while. He would call me on occasion and say, come on, please, let's go with the oil prices. But the oil is coming way down. So I'm very honored by it. I want to thank you for your help. You've always been a help. And it's an honor to be with you. We had a very good conversation yesterday with President Zelensky.
So there it is on Drudge. Trump makes Iran great again. War for nothing. $300 billion settlement. Secret cash deal. Guys, okay, here we go. Here it is. This is clip 16 we're going to go to. I grabbed the YouTube version of this clip. And this is, you know, if we're going to end the Iran war, this is how we basically have to end it. If you're going to, and that's the problem with most of these wars. You know, they want to go in and drop bombs on people. This is from the Chris Williamson podcast or channel. And he's interviewing DJ Shipley. Basically saying, if you really want to end this, you have to commit everything to it. And, you know, Americans don't want to do that because why we're looking at Iran going, what are we fighting these people for? For Israel? Because that's what it seems. You know, Marco Rubio came out and said, hey, they were going to attack. So we wanted to be the leaders in this. So we decided to attack. But here's DJ Shipley. He's telling them, this is how you have to do it. And we're not going to play all this clip. I'll pull you guys out of it. Well, let's go ahead and run it.
I wonder whether or not the modern world is incompatible with some of the ugly things that need to happen in war.
Mm-hmm. And anybody who's been to Afghanistan, anybody who's been to Iraq or any of the wars, they know. If we really wanted to win that war, we could win it fast. They don't want us to win it fast. I don't know who doesn't.
Tell me more about this. What do you mean?
If you grabbed all the Five Eyes, so US, UK, Australia, Canada, New Zealand, if you just grabbed us and dropped us into Iraq and said you have 6 months to close out the entire thing, could we? 100%. They don't want us to. And I think that's for a bunch of different reasons, but one of them is you don't want to see what that actually looks like. Like you don't want to watch special operations and all of this, the whole military might push through Fallujah and clear it all out. They don't want to see what clearing Fallujah actually means. Like when you hear the Marines cleared Fallujah, they don't know what that means.
What does it mean?
They went door to door and killed every single male that was still there. Everybody who's willing to fight, they killed them all. That's how you clear the village. So they gave them, told them the time, get out by this day. If not, we're pushing through and anybody who's left to fight, we're going to kill. And that's what he did. That's how you do it. People don't want to see that. People don't want to live that. They don't want to realize that's a reality. So all your grandfathers who are fighting World War II, I promise you they weren't handing out Hershey kisses and handshakes. It's not what they did. They had flamethrowers, for God's sake. You think they're going to give us a flamethrower now? No. We can't even use Claymore mines. There's a whole bunch of stuff we used to use back in the day, and because it's now it's too cruel and unusual, Geneva Convention threw it out. A bunch of munitions you can't use, rounds you can't shoot people with, a bunch of different weird stuff.
Is that being adhered to by the other side?
No. No, they're blowing you up. They're doing whatever they want to. Suicide vest on children. Like, they do whatever they want to. That makes it very, very hard to fight. So for you, you run in, you're a dad, you're a husband, you're a friend, you're an uncle, little kids all around. You have no idea if they have a suicide vest on now. Are they holding grenades for their father? You have no idea. It really makes you lose trust in people because now you don't know. As soon as you drop your guard, one thing happens. You're like, I'll never let that happen again. Technology advances. You get new pieces of tech, and now you can see through clothing. You can buy down the risk a little bit, but they get very, very smart. See the smart bombs? They try to sneak through TSA all the time. They understand exactly what we're trying to do, and you're trying to counter it every single day.
How frustrating is that? someone whose life's on the line and also is trying to dedicate their career to doing this well?
It's a big cat and mouse game. I move my piece here, you move your piece
here.
So
you've kind of accepted this as the cost of doing business, that you're going to have to adhere by a set of rules that the other side doesn't have to. You're not allowed to pick the ball up, you have to kick it.
Yes.
But they're allowed to pick it up and run with it.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly how it is. It's like, do you really want us to win, or do you really want us to engage in this 20-year war because of all the technological advancements that are come out of that
and
war?
And that's been going on since we've been fighting wars in the modern era. Korea, we were kicking their butts because they let MacArthur go in, and he pushed the North Koreans back into China. And they're like, whoa, 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 we didn't know you were going to go. We didn't know you're going to win this war. We need to spend some military industrial complex dollars. Let's let them come back in. And then, you know, they stopped at, I think it was the 38th parallel. And that's where the DMZ took place. Sort of the same thing that's happening in Russia. I think the Russians could have easily gone in and just overwhelmed the Ukrainians and taken it. The Ukrainians were being, you know, armed by NATO. So they had some backup, but overall, I think Russia could have taken it if they really wanted to. You know, they're the same way. They're like, yeah, maybe we just want to get to the zone that we want. And we're just going to hold it, hold that. And we're going to create a DMZ. Cause if you think the Russians are going to give up the Donbass at this point, there's no way that's going to be part of Russia, just like Odessa is. And then in Vietnam, you know, it was, send a squad out, get a couple kills, come back in, you know, take the hill, then let the hill get taken. It's never about total winning. Because Americans don't have the stomach for it. Americans don't want it. You know, World War II, they had the stomach for it. And you can see what we did. We went in there. We did a beach landing on D-Day. We used nuclear weapons because we wanted to win the war. This is a video of people escaping from Saigon at the end of the war. They were trying to get the South Vietnamese out, and it was just utter mayhem. Look, they're pushing helicopters off the aircraft carriers because the North Vietnamese were coming. And, you know, Americans didn't have the stomach for this half-assed war over the years, killing over 50,000 Americans. Well, you got to hand it to Spielberg, though. He really did get the D-Day invasion, probably the closest anyone's ever gotten it. And these were 18-year-old boys. These weren't 30-year-old men storming the beaches. And the sacrifices they went through. So, you know, that's what's going to have to happen if we're going to get out of Iran. Or you just pack up and you say, we're done. And you do come up with a deal. Maybe they'll stick with the deal, but I don't think Israel's going to stick to the deal. We know that. So next segment, or actually, we have our long segment. I'm going to go through these videos celebrating America. Because I love this country, and I've been to Europe. I've been to Canada. I've seen how, you know, even Western societies are. They don't have freedom of speech. You know, you start filming the police in Austria, and they get really mad. You're not allowed to film the police. They get so mad, they'll come raid your house at midnight, or your hotel at midnight. Luckily, they didn't know where I was staying. So they went ahead and just grabbed a Guardian journalist. His name, Charlie Skelton. They woke him up, but they were looking for me because I was posting stuff on X of the cops searching our car. And they searched us every time we went through the security perimeter at the Bilderberg. And they're like, you can't film us. I'm like, you're filming me. I'm like, I'm an American. And they don't like it when you say stuff like that, but you know, in honor of America's 250th birthday, because we are still going strong after 250 years, Bigly, our sponsor at thealexjonesstore.com, has come up with some amazing apparel, some 4th of July apparel that you can order now and get by the 4th of July. 1776 to 2026. They're launching a brand new America 250 apparel at thealexjonesstore.com, built for people who still believe in this country and still want meaningful change. Defund the Deep State is one. There's a 1776 shirt, and they're running 30% off all apparel on the site. So if you've ever wanted to get a shirt or a hat or a hoodie, now's the time to do it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com, and you can check out the America 250th 4th of July apparel collection. Plus, you get 30% off all apparel, and they're ending the spring sale. Look at those hats. I like that 1776 with the cross guns right there. Really cool stuff. Check it out. There's tons of designs. You could spend an hour looking at all the designs on the shop right now. So check it out, thealexjonesstore.com. 30% off all apparel. And when you buy from thealexjonesstore.com, it funds what we're doing here. It funds the rebuilding effort that we're having. You're funding alexjoneslive.com and the writers, the video production, the crews. We're slowly ramping back up. We're going to be starting more shows soon. I'd say within maybe 3 to 4 months, we're going to start something new, and we're going to build off that. We're going to just keep building and build it back up. We're going to build back better. Is that the that was the Dimtard's little slogan. But also, we have 50% off Ultimate Life Force. Talked about it a lot last week. Basically, if you're feeling the effects of the spike protein, this thing has several ingredients that are documented to help you with that, including bromelain, N-acetylcysteine, natokinase, turmeric, and the black pepper extract that works with the turmeric to kind of juice it up a little bit. But all those things help destroy the spike protein, which is attached to the COVID-19/coronavirus. So check it out. 50% off. That's got to be ending soon. I thought they were ending it on Sunday, but I guess they're going to keep it going. 40% off methylene red, atomic defense, methylene blue tincture, methylene blue gummies, MK Ultra, and War Cry smelling salts. 35% off up to on zeolite tincture, creatine powder, CMOS capsules, methylene blue capsules. And up to 30% off iodine, CMOS, Shilajit gummies, and more, including Ultimate Energy and Chill. And don't forget, 30% off all shirts and hats. And the filter system, the water filter system, Alex has been talking about it a lot. He really likes the design of this one. It's got that tabletop, too, that lifts it off the counter. So you could have it pushed back on your counter and still get water out of it. They've sold out, but the pre-orders are happening now. And they expect to ship by the end of July. So get in line for that. They're not going to charge you till they ship it. So get in line for it now. We'll be right back. You're watching The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Deuce.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say,
Where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I don't care about Israel at all. It's a non-factor. However, if Israel continues to shove it in my face that they're able to buy elections, that they're able to throw enough money at somebody that they can overturn a House primary and make it the most expensive primary in history, if they're going to go out there and openly lobby for things, and I very recently had a conversation with a member of the intelligence community, somebody who's about ready to retire, and the statement that I got was so unsettling. I didn't ever see a dissemination control. When you have classified documents, they basically give you the level of classification, and then they have what's called dissemination controls. And so it might be unclassified, but you can only disseminate to law enforcement or official use. It may be secret and no foreign, which means no foreign government gets it, or it's secret and you can do what's called, it says rel to, release to, and you can release it to certain groups, whether it be the Five Eyes or different countries. And there's a category underneath at least our secret classification that allows for release to the United States and Israel only. And it's specific information that only goes to those partners. It doesn't go to the Brits. It doesn't go to the Kiwis. It doesn't go to the Aussies. It doesn't go to the Canadians. It's only to Israel. And I'd never seen that when I was working in the FBI. I didn't even know it was a real thing. And I brought it up with an Intel community member and said, is this real? Like, I read about it. I see it's in the guidebook that lists out the classifications. Do we use this? And the statement came back to me, yes, and far more frequently than I'm comfortable with. And so we do crazy amounts of information sharing, but at the same time, you listen to people that have come out of the CIA, that have come out of NSA, that have come out of these DIA, and they say, the Israelis come in and they're always spying on us. They're always trying to spy on us. I've got buddies that were in law enforcement, like federal law enforcement, that were doing overseas work. They were going to, other countries, and sometimes they do a landing, in Tel Aviv or in Jerusalem. And they said when they were switching planes there, they would have beautiful women come up and do what's called a bump. On a regular basis, they would try to bump and recruit our guys that are, they're all cleared personnel, but it doesn't mean they're working on sensitive stuff. Yeah, because the Israelis are constantly working against us. Honeypot, stingrays, mm-hmm. Breaking into things. Kiriakou talks about it.
We call them a frenemy. They're a frenemy at best. And so when I keep hearing politicians come out and say they're our greatest ally, obviously someone is writing this PR garbage. And then the second thing that you see them always doing is conflating the presence of American Jewish people. And then if you were to say something about, about Israel, then you're somehow anti-Semitic because they've basically conflated the religious nature or the race of the people and the people that live in a foreign country. To me, that's bizarre. I grew up over and over hearing, Alex, you probably did too. Israel's an amazing place. It's the only liberal democracy in the Middle East. It's the only place where Christians and Muslims and Jewish people can all live together and they're all represented in the government and blah, 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 blah. And you find out the way that they turn.
Well, meanwhile, they're vaporizing Christian Lebanon and taking it right now.
That's right. And knocking down settlements that are in the West Bank that are Christian. The only remaining Christian settlement. It was a front and center piece of the news from a group I used to work with. And you're sitting there going, how do we ignore these two things? Because they're in conflict with each other. They cannot be our greatest ally and then also be trying to drag us into a conflict and, obviously going against what Donald Trump was saying.
Is they're definitely arrogant. They're definitely making their move. And it's very unpopular and it's treasonous. And now it's front and center and it's 80% of American people don't like this. So I think Israel's bit off more than they can chew. We're almost out of time, but in the 60 seconds, how do you see this unfolding?
I think you're exactly right. I think they've bitten off more than they can chew. And I had this conversation with Mark Hauck, who recently got a settlement from DOJ. He's one of the guys that was targeted by the last DOJ. And he said something to me that stuck with me. He says, the devil's always loudest when he's losing. And I thought that was a really poignant thing. And that actually turns out to be the case for a lot of different people. When you're behind the eight ball, when you're losing, you tend to be complaining and whining and louder. And you tend to be, try to puff yourself up to be bigger than you are. When people are winning and they're getting away with something, they're very happy for you not to know it. I mean, that's been my experience with people. If you're doing some shenanigans behind the scene, you don't want to call any attention to that. But when you start losing and the status quo is failing on you, you might actually need to be louder than you were before. I think this rattle is almost like, it has the potential of being a death rattle. Now, maybe they turn it. Maybe they get what they want. But I think they've turned the Gen Alphas. I think they've turned the Gen Zs. I think they've turned a lot of people in my generation. I'm like the oldest millennial out there. I was born in 81. So, I think the people in my age bracket and even people older than me are looking and just going, look, we don't care that Israel exists. We're not mad that they're there. What we don't want to do is fund them. And we certainly don't want them dragging us into conflicts and wars that cost us, you know, blood and treasure.
We don't want Israel to run us. It's not our country. They're openly saying they run us, and it's wrong. Kyle Serafin, KyleSerafinShow.com.
Decide the fate of humanity. The time has come to choose sides. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Share the links now at alexjoneslive.com.
Alex Jones is back. The info war continues at alexjoneslive.com. And you can follow us on X at Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at The Alex Jones Show Live. Plus, you can download the app, alexjonesapp.com. So check it out now and let the deep state globalists know we will never be silenced.
Crew's definitely a bunch of wizards in the way they pull up amazing, continuous, flowing AI videos. They made that Doom spoof, which was, it says do, and they did that on the spot.
Smashing globalists.
Let's look at a globalist. Here's Keir Starmer put this out yesterday. Of course, he says this is for the children. And anytime any politician says anything is for the children, it ain't for the children. All right. And I'm just going to tell you how this is done. This is what they want. The system does not want anonymity. They don't like people being online that they can't control. They want to know who says what so they can send somebody after them to put them in jail, especially in the UK. They're already arresting people for Facebook posts. They're arresting people for X posts. They are serious. They want you to accept migrants. They want you to accept the tyranny with a smile. And you get back in line and you let the migrants come on in and they get everything while you get nothing. That's nice, guys. Why do I look like I'm 80 years older than Alex in that picture? That's pretty good, though. They almost got the suit shirt combination correct. Okay, they're saying that's how long it's going to take to get me in office. Yeah. I think the beard will be fully gray by then. It's got some nice gray coming in there in the center. But let's go to Keir Starmer. Here's his message for the children. He's really concerned about the children. Okay. This is a guy who literally covered up for pedophiles in his government as a judge. But let's hear what he has to say now.
Every parent wants the best for their kids. And that's what being a parent means. And for me, for my two kids, all I've ever wanted, hand on heart, is for them to be safe and for them to be happy.
Unless it's one of my friends who wants to rape them.
Is up to them. But, you know, I think back to when I was growing up, and I have to say, I think we had it easier. These days, kids have to find their feet in a world that changes so quickly, where technology intrudes into every area of their lives. And we know that harms them. The response from parents in the consultation has been absolutely clear. thousands of parents say their children are addicted to social media. It can leave them trapped in a cycle of endless scrolling that displaces play, sleep, and time with the family. It can harm their mental health. And frankly, parents need our support on this. That is why today, the government has decided to ban social media access for children under 16.
The government has decided.
It's a big step for our country. Now, it's not an easy thing to do. I'll be honest about that. We haven't rushed into it. We've looked carefully at the evidence. And we'll have to adapt our approach as technology changes. Learn from other countries which are taking similar steps. And it's fair to say that this decision has been resisted, and it will face resistance from some of the most powerful companies in the world. But we will take them on, and we will win. Because the need for action could not be any clearer. Social media is making our children unhappy and unsafe. And as a parent, as much as a prime minister, I just can't let that go on anymore. Because our children deserve better. They deserve a happy, safe childhood in a stronger, fairer Britain.
So we're going to import lots of migrants to beat them up and treat them as subhuman. Notice he doesn't say anything about that. It's like, we're going to continue to import people who don't belong into the country. But what is it all about? This is all about creating internet ID. And Europe thinks if they start it, they can get the rest of the world to follow. So the UK is going to start it because they don't want people talking about what's going on. They don't want people sharing videos of a guy getting beheaded in the middle of the street or attempted beheading in the middle of the street. They don't want to show you of the young man who got stabbed by the Sikh and then was handcuffed to die on the street while this guy ran around going, he's a racist, he's a racist. They don't want you to see that. And so when your identity is attached to that, you're going to see all these videos dry up. But he was right about one thing, you know. Social media has kind of destroyed civilization in its own way. It's created some rot. And here's an article. It was on Alex Jones Live. Are smartphones killing the birth rate? And in general, fertility rate in the U.S. has fallen 22% since 2007, which is the year the iPhone came out. Now, I don't think social media was prevalent at that time as much. I mean, there was Facebook, but there wasn't as many little, it wasn't TikTok, there wasn't Instagram. X, when did X come around? 2009, a couple years later. So it didn't quite, wasn't quite at that point. But that was the start of the smartphone and people looking at their phone and taking pictures with it and sending pictures to people. And so here it is by birth. This is interesting. So they think it was a 4.5 to 8% at ages 15 to 19. And 3.2 to 6.6% ages 20 to 24. They found statistically significant but smaller declines among older women. So these are people who had already kind of gone through life and weren't. It took me a while to jump on social media bandwagon. I don't think I got an X account until like 2015. And that was because I was going to Bilderberg and Joe Biggs said, you got to get on X. You got to make an X account. And I'm like, I don't want to create an X account. I don't like social media. So no, you got to do it. You'll be able to send out stuff quickly. And for that, it was great. It was great to send out news and updates of what was going on, you know, and on these different trips we took. So, yeah, there it is. Just in, they clarified. You adults will still be able to use social media by verifying identities with digital IDs, facial recognition, passports, and credit cards. See? See? It's for the children. Being able to identify all adults is for the children. And that's how it is. So let's go to this. I want to go to these clips. Let's go to the first one. Europeans discovering America is some of the best content on the internet right now. This is about a 3-minute clip. And it is, it's basically, you know, people realizing that America isn't just people shooting each other with guns, because that's what they're told. They're told Americans just kill each other with guns, even though it's probably like 4 cities where the most of the murders take place. Most of the gun-related murders take place in 4 cities. But they want you to think, you know, the European press wants you to think that that's all, it's just Americans running around shooting each other. This first guy here, just show the still frame, guys. This guy here is walking around a neighborhood, and he's like, man, people actually talk to each other. You know, my neighborhood, man, if people are walking and you drive by them, you better wave to them, because they're waving at you, and you don't want to be that neighbor that doesn't wave. But you know what? It keeps the sense of a neighborly neighborhood. You know, you're not walking around or driving around. You're waving to your neighbor. You may not even know him, but you're waving to him. Okay? That's America. That's most of America. And people are going to monuments and national parks and eating the food. I've got more clips of eating the food. And then you look at what's going on in Europe. You know, they're literally having to fight for their country. They're literally dressing like Antifa to go fight for their country. Because it didn't quite work out with the ballot box, did it? And they don't have a cartridge box. So I don't know what box they're going to next. Is it the Antifa box? I mean, what do you have? You got the ballot box, the cartridge box. And then what's next? The hanging box? I don't know. Do they hang them? I don't know. I don't know what Europe's going to do, because I'm sure their elections are just as crooked as ours. And I got clips on that coming in too. Europeans are obsessed with rural America during 2026 World Cup stay. The verdict is in. So they're going to Buc-ee's. They're getting these giant brisket sandwiches and going, wow, this is good food. All right, let's go to the first clip. This is just a compilation. It's pretty funny. I like it.
These neighborhoods look exactly the same as every movie we've ever seen. The American flags, people have got race flags up. This old couple just walked past me and they go, good morning. I was like, what the hell? Did you guys talk to each other here?
Like, this is a high school stadium. What? Look at the amount of seats in this place. Do they actually fill these stadiums? Like, do people actually come for the game to actually fill these out? Because that's honestly mental. Like, that is crazy. There is a ton of seats in here. If this was England, it would literally be like on a little park field with dog shit everywhere.
Guys, I'm not even fucking with you right now. If we had Chipotle in Australia, I swear to God, I would be there every single day.
Mm-hmm. It is so good.
Guys, Guzman needs to take notes.
Mad Max needs to take notes.
Like, what is in this crap?
Crap.
It's just incredible. Absolutely incredible. There really is. Like no other. I honestly think, unless you live in America, or unless you visit here, you can't really comprehend how nice these areas are.
About to have my Alfredo fettuccine. Holy fuck.
What?
And that's the best pasta I've ever eaten in my life.
Thank you.
WTF. That's the best pasta I've ever had. I love it here.
It's loaded with GMOs, don't worry. Mate.
Holly.
Happy
birthday to you. That was the best day of my life. Best restaurant ever. 10 out of 10. Wish
the
I could
Olive
have
Garden.
The day of my life. A beige food girl's dream.
That's cool.
All right, pause for a second. That's how bad it is in the rest of the world. Like, Olive Garden is like the cream of the crop to some of these people. And is that wild or what? Like, Olive Garden, unlimited breadsticks. Like, that is what they like. Buc-ee's, Heat Ranch, all things that Europeans are discovering about America. Yeah. And you know what else they're discovering? They're like, look, these air conditioners actually work. I remember I took a trip with Jones and the crew. We went to Rome. And I stayed in a little apartment overlooking the Coliseum. Cause I got to pick my own places and I'm like, oh, I'm going to stay right across from the Coliseum. I set up GoPros. I did some time lapses and I had a air conditioning little unit above me and I would turn that thing down. It was in Celsius and I'm just like, God, I'm sweating in the room and I'm turning it down. I asked for a fan. The guy's like, what? This isn't good enough. This is what everybody has it set to. And I forget what the Celsius was, but it was like 83. I think it was about 83 degrees. And I was just like, you people do not know what air conditioning is. And this was August in Rome, which is hot. It was hot. So yeah, you can see the tweets are everywhere. Ranch dressing. I guess they've never had ranch dressing. You know, people are going to be bringing that back with them. Do you have anything to declare? Just this ranch dressing. Just a little ranch dressing in me coat. All right, let's finish the video.
So beautiful. Everybody's so friendly. Southern hospitality. The air smells nice.
When you're in the UK, okay, if you're next to the beach, it smells.
I was like,
the beach doesn't smell here, right?
No, everything's beautiful.
I can refill this 1,000 times.
Yeah, but you won't drink 1,000 cups of Coca-Cola.
You don't know me. And it's free.
You paid for it. You paid it.
Once.
Bro, slow down.
We've heard of refills, but what about second refills?
It's the best burger. Honestly, it's so good. And then I also got the animal style fries and the diet lemonade for balance. It's pink. I just love it here. Like,
they're all gaining 20 pounds.
And they can fight human trafficking, which is awesome. They have Bible verses on the bottom of their cup. Never. Good if you can see. But yeah, look at that burger. It's so good. And then we've got the
sunset. We get nothing but bud burgers where we live.
I can never leave. I cannot live without this food.
I've been back home in the UK. I haven't felt like myself, which sounds so crazy. I now live for that adventure, that crazy lifestyle, that meeting new people, seeing new people every day. And I just long for it. And in America, it is so amazing. Oh, seriously, Americans, what have you done to me? I need to come back.
Yeah, you know, and they're told, oh, tourism's down. This is going to revitalize tourism. People watching these videos and reading these expos are going to be like, wait. We've been told America is this evil place with nothing but teens running around killing people. We got a picture of this is the burger you get in Europe. Show them the burger. Look at that. They keep pulling up these. This is a French burger, I believe, right there. Mmm. Filled with bugs and seaweed. All right. What do I got next? All right. This next one, I'll cut this one out early. But these are British high schoolers trying brisket for the first time. But they pull it out there. They're like, this looks like mud. You got to watch this. This is great. Do you guys have this one? Are you looking for the number? Number 5. Nope.
What does that look like to you?
There mud.
You got it.
For your first ever bite of Texas barbecue, I think we should try some burnt ends.
Burnt ends are amazing.
Oh my God. That just melted in my mouth.
Yeah.
I can't even explain. It's absolutely sublime.
That's really good.
So it doesn't taste like mud?
No. Wow.
I can't even describe it.
Perfect.
That is so good.
It tastes like steak or smoky.
My eyes are watering.
I've not eaten all day, and it's probably the best thing I've ever eaten.
Wow. What age can you legally move to America? In America, beef sausages are the most common sort of hot dogs and sausages.
How's it like this?
They make beef sausages.
That looks, wow.
They do eat a lot of sausage in the UK, but their sausage looks different than ours.
Sausage that's been smoked, infused with some cheese, jalapenos, a lot of spices.
The skin is really hard to, like, bite through.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that skin. It, like, cracks as you bite into it.
That's the best thing. Oh, my word.
It's much better than that. Tesco.
Yeah.
Aldi, Sainsbury's.
That is a good sauce.
I don't even think I can eat food here anymore.
I'm so scared to try this.
How did he eat guns and gravy?
That's not gravy.
This, I vomit. I can't lie.
Now they're trying biscuits and gravy for people listening on the radio.
That is good.
Guns and gravy seems really weird.
They call them scones.
Oh my god, that's so good.
How does one eat this without getting boned?
You can really tell that you guys haven't eaten ribs before.
I've never had ribs before.
You've never had pork ribs?
I've had so much different types of meat, but I've never had ribs. Okay.
And then you can rip off one rib at a time or just go in.
I don't know. I don't know what they do with the ribs.
I can't, there's like a special taste there, but I can't...
A little bit of honey, maybe?
That's it.
That's lovely.
A little bit of honey.
Better than the ones I...
There you go, I'm getting hungry now. Okay. I gotta go get some barbecue. Is...
God.
That's jealous.
What do you mean?
How do they get to eat this?
Yeah.
I want to go to America now.
If you could get
and
this
that's what
here,
they. This is what they eat in the UK. They get to eat boiled sausages. They boil it, and they have brown sauce. They got a little brown sauce that they put them in. All right, let's get this one so we can end it on the segment. Cue this one up to like 11:35. This is two North Koreans. A North Korean defector is eating Texas barbecue. You guys have that one? Like, cue it up to about 11:35 or 11:40 something. I have it written on 11:36. Roll it. They got this Bronto beef ribs from Black's. This is Black's Barbecue. It's an amazing place. It's very timid barbecue ribs. They've probably never seen meat like this. They're enamored by the juice. She's saying it's seriously delicious. If North Koreans came here and tasted, the country would unite right away. And see, that's what we should be leading with. We should be leading with our food. The Iranians probably don't get barbecue like this. Why don't we send them some briskets? Here's our peace plan. Keep the audio going. I love hearing these women go as they eat like delicious cuts of meat. Yeah, it is a smoked brisket. Here it is. That won't cost nearly as much as these missiles they're firing at. So they got a couple slices of brisket, but they're really going after this meat on the bone, these beef ribs that do look like they come from a dinosaur. I mean, Black's is definitely amazing. We're eating like total savages right now. Yes, you are. I mean, and that's how, that you want world peace? Make more brisket. We need to export some of our brisket. I'm getting hungry right now. This is amazing. Now I see why everyone told us to try again. Good thing we came back. So I guess they went there and probably didn't know what to get. Noobs. You know, you gotta go with a tour guide. You gotta go with a big fat Texan. Yeah, what you want here? Some cream corn, a little okra, and get you some of them ribs. Mm. Well, they got a whole spread there. They got the beans, there's the cream corn, the mac and cheese. Yeah, you're in Texas. The staff are really friendly. Look at them ripping into that meat. They're not even going to hit their sides. Oh, my gosh. That looks so good. See, that's how we could have world peace. World peace through meat. You know, and people like Bill Gates don't want us to have meat. They want to create armies of ticks to make us allergic to beautiful cuts of meat like that. I mean, I couldn't think of anything more evil than that right there. I mean, it's abortion killing babies. And then wanting to make people allergic to meat. That's right underneath it. Right there. We could have world peace with brisket. We really could.
We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense. And we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us as Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator, after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds, he says, are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. It's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos, and Paul Revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got, like, copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all, and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, guide, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make $10 right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Flavor would instantly break any brainwashing. That's right. We could literally have world peace through brisket. Oh, but no, we have to have alpha gal syndrome. Welcome back to the War Room. Europeans here for the World Cup are discovering all the amazing food we have to offer. Look at that. Oh, my God. That's a prime rib right there. Now, you know, that's I got a Tommy Robinson story. When he was here, he was doing his little Texas tour. It wasn't prime rib, but it was a part of, I forget what, but Brianna Morello cooked the dinner and Alex was there and his wife was there and Tommy Robinson was getting back with his crew. Savannah Hernandez was there and she made this amazing prime rib. But you know, when you do prime rib, it wasn't prime rib, but it was something that looked like a prime rib and it had, you know, it was medium rare to rare. It was amazing. And Tommy gets there and he goes, can you cook it a little more? That's how worn down he is. He's got to have it like cooked extra well done. So she had to fire up the stove and sear the each side of the, I mean, she made some, it was amazing. It was so good. The way she cooked it. And, it was just funny. You know, they don't have that in Europe. They're literally eating like, you know, bug burgers is what they're in with brown sauce. They have in the UK, they have this stuff called brown sauce. It's not even got a name. It's just called brown sauce. Look at it. They're like guns. Oh, look, air conditioning. See? Horrible sugary drinks. Now see what they don't, they're all skinny. You see that? They're all skinny because they're not allowed to eat, such large portions. Over here in America, we're all disgusting fat bodies. But let's go ahead and open up the phone lines. We got about an hour and a half left in the show, and I'd like to hear what people have to say out there on the Iran deal, on, you know, the new peace with brisket policy, which we should be starting up. But here's the phone number, 512-266-0642, 512-266-0642. If you're a European traveling through America for the first time, what do you think of all this? I did get a text from Sean, Solutions of the Republic. He said there's four boxes, not three. There's the soapbox, which is free speech, X, you know, you're allowed to get on and say things. There's the ballot box, which is where you get to, you know, participate in these elections, which are probably fake. And I've got a little clip on that coming up. The jury box, which is where, and I don't even know if people know this. You have something called jury nullification where you could actually break a law. I think the New Jersey weed man did this. There's an old case about you can look it up, the New Jersey weed man. And he convinced the jury that whatever he was accused of doing shouldn't be illegal. And so he got the jury under the jury nullification laws to side with him, and basically he walked out a free man. David Knight used to interview him a lot, but the New Jersey weed man. And but that's jury nullification. So you could literally have the jury go, no, what you did was right. The man selling marijuana across from Trenton City Hall, even the mayor is a fan of the NJ weed man. And whatever your thoughts on weed, should we be putting people in prison for smoking a plant that God has given us? No, we shouldn't. 100%. It's ridiculous. And the bullet box or the cartridge box is the last box. So soap box, ballot box, jury box, and cartridge box. We don't call them clips. We call them magazines. The magazine box. Anyway, there it is. Here's an article that's out of the New York Post this morning. Horrified construction workers dig up remains of 32 unborn babies. These are aborted babies. Digging up a driveway in rural Poland made a gruesome discovery of the remains of 32 human fetuses. The remains were found were taken from a hospital by a pathologist to use them for unauthorized scientific experiments. The Polish International News Network said they were uncovered on a property in Lutors, a village near the city of Rzeszów, once belonged to a 57-year-old pathologist identified by the Polish media as Magdalena H. The current owners were a young couple and had recently purchased the property and started renovations. They had no idea the nightmare they were to expose beneath their feet. So not only human remains, but large quantities of medical waste, all of which are the center of the investigation. Magdalena told prosecutors he had removed the fetuses from a hospital during the COVID-19 pandemic, and he used them for alleged medical research at her home. Authorities said the remains were placed inside sacks and buried on the property. I don't even know what the woman does. I knew her by sight, said one villager. Another said it was a bit strange. Investigators believe the woman buried the fetuses to cut down on costs. She now faces charges including desecration of human remains and illegal disposal of hazardous medical waste, including tubes, containers, and microscope slides. If convicted, she could face up to 12 years in prison. Crazy. Let's combat that with a feel-good story. This is an older story. This girl's a lot older now, but this girl's born without hands. Young lady, and in 2016, she taught herself how to write between her two forearms, and her handwriting was so neat she earned national recognition. She actually won two different national handwriting championships, and she doesn't even have hands. You can see right there, she's got nubs, and she puts the pencil in between her forearm nubs and learned how to write using that. And so what you have to ask yourself is, what the hell is your excuse out there for not accomplishing great things? I mean, look at this girl not letting her disabilities run her life and not being a victim. This is the opposite of victim mentality. I want to get to this, but I'm not going to get to this right now. But this is the parasite that hides into you. There's a entamoeba histolytica has been found. It's it basically devours part of your cell and becomes part of the cell. Sort of like the thing. Sort of like this. When I read this, I'm like, oh, the thing right here. And it can spread in organs. It infects millions of people. It kills about 50 million people a year. It takes teeny bites from human cells and steals their proteins to cover itself like a disguise. So I guess, you know, like those zombie movies or the zombie TV shows where they all, you know, cover themselves in blood to blend in with the zombies. Here's a Tommy Robinson. I was talking about him just a little bit ago. UK police detain Tommy Robinson, seized phone under Counterterrorism Act. And an RATM guitarist, Tom Morello, attacks activists during England show. British activist Tommy Robinson was detained by law enforcement upon landing at Heathrow Airport on Saturday, announcing on social media that he was held for 3 hours and his phone was taken. He was stopped under the provisions of Schedule 3 of the Counterterrorism and Border Security Act. I wonder if part of that Border Security Act is keeping migrants out of the country. Probably not. He had just returned from a trip to Russia where he met with Elon Musk's father. The individual posting on Robinson's account shared an image of paperwork he received during interrogation. And claims after a social media user claimed that news of his detainment was a lie. Yeah, see, a little sock puppet there was saying it was a lie. Actor and comedian John Cleese sarcastically replied, "Did he stab someone?" in response to Financial Times covering his detainment. Musk joked he used the words that pro-stabbing politicians didn't like. After the brief arrest, Ezra Levant explained Tommy wasn't actually charged. Instead, he was arrested and questioned and having his devices seized. Because what they wanted to do was find something on his phone that they could go after him with. And the only way to do that was to detain him. So they could search his phone and go, oh, you actually don't have anything we could convict you with. But maybe they planted something on his phone. Who knows? So they're using terrorism laws to spy on peaceful protesting dissent. They're not even pretending to abuse the law anymore. Just 1 month ago, Musk predicted the British government would probably arrest Tommy Robinson after he led the Million Man March against UK Prime Minister Keir Starmer. And then Tom Morello was at a concert, and he was F Tommy Robinson was written on the back of Morello's guitar. See, Morello's all about migrant invasions and communism because he's, you know, he's a millionaire. We call him millionaire socialist. Rage for the machine. F you, I'll do what you tell me. I will do what you tell me. Now, Alex said he's going to have Kurt Metzger on in, I don't know if it's this week or next week, to talk about QAnon and what he's found in his research. He was on the Danny Jones podcast, and he talked about the Trump assassination attempt in Butler and how that was actually, he believes it's a blood ritual. And there's a lot of people that are starting to look at that incident and go, well, why did Trump kill the investigation? Dan Bongino came out and said, well, at least that's what Tucker said he texted him to, that you got to take it up with Trump because he killed the investigation. Why would Trump kill that investigation? Did he not want to see where it would go? Did he not want to get who was behind it? Because we know it wasn't one kid by himself who just happened to go target shooting where all the feds go target shooting in his area. And his parents were both psychologists, and his house was cleaned up of everything. There was nothing in the house anymore. Definitely some fishy stuff going on. But there you can see it. You can see Brick Suit right there standing up. He's the one who has some pretty amazing footage right there. And there you can see people crouched down. They don't know what's going on. And then Trump pops up. When this happened, I was actually on a plane with Alex flying into Santa Rosa. We're covering Bilderberg. And so as we landed, I started getting a ton of texts. Because when you start getting closer to the ground, texts start popping up on your phone. Questions remain at Secret Service 1 year after Trump rally shooting. And so here's Kurt Metzger on his theories about it. And he makes it biblical. He said it was a biblical thing. So here we go.
With his fake ear getting shot, which is from Exodus. Okay, that's how you show you're a willing servant.
What do you
Israel.
Mean it's from Exodus? What do they say in Exodus?
Blood, right, ram's blood on the right ear and the wrist and the ankle. Remember Trump lost his shoe? Okay, and then that signifies you are in Egypt when they're in Exodus, when they're leaving, the Egyptians want to go with the Israelites. They signified they're a willing servant with the ram's blood on the ear and wrist and ankle.
Find this, Steve.
Yeah, but when Heather Lindsay, ask her, she'll tell you. She has a whole thing about it. Anyway, Charlie Kirk is an unblemished lamb that got killed. They were always going to kill him. They were always going to kill him, but probably when he was president, killing a king, the power of that ritual gives you the power to change reality. Now, we don't have to make it in magical terms, just in regular, secular terms. What does it mean? Or 9/11. You see how that's a high ritual, isn't it? That's what Family Guy made fun of this, actually. 9/11 changed everything. 9/11 changed everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah.
Nobody's jerked off camera for probably 30 years in this country. So yes, it did.
Nobody's jerked off camera.
You've been spied on. Oh, I mean, everybody knows this, right?
I see what you're saying. Yeah. Right.
and here's what's funny. They don't even have to, or how about that Pokemon Go where fucking imbecile Spurg millennials went around and you gave the government a way to map out the parts that their satellites couldn't look at. That's what that was for. That's what that
Is
was
that
for.
Is that proven?
Yes, that's old news that I forgot about.
Pokemon Go was like an NSA program?
I forget the name of the company, but yeah, but everything, yo, it's we don't have
data.
Capitalism, assholes. We have state capitalism like China. Only a few companies. You think that Zuckerberg invented Facebook? Well, he didn't. It was DARPA.
Right.
Think of the stories you've heard about UFOs from that Corso piece of shit where he goes, we'd take alien things and we'd go to corporations and go, put a patent on this quick.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Why would you do that, you sack of Corso?
Right.
Oh, Eisenhower, they had a thing that could cure all the diseases, but he didn't want to hurt the pharmaceutical industry. That's a real quote from Colonel Corso. Now, and he's not saying it like he's telling you what a piece of shit Eisenhower is. He's saying it like, that's what we did. Okay.
Like he's proud of it?
You should, I don't even know the reality of what if hell's like, but I hope you go there.
I can't wait to see Kurt Metzger on the show. Here's another guy. Probably wouldn't be like this had not been for listening to hours of Alex Jones and doing his own and then going, you know what? I don't accept the original narrative. I'm going to dig a little deeper. Yeah, there's the, you know, he's talking about Pokemon Go. Pokemon Go players built a $30 billion photo map that's now training robots to deliver your pizza. Yeah, that's all that was. And you can only see the Pokemon in the phone as you're running around looking for things. Pokemon Go players unwittingly contributed to tech with military drone uses. Yeah. And everybody goes, oh, it's Pokemon. It's so good. But no, it was basically created to map out areas. They think that most areas, like, you know, Times Square has had so many photos of it, you can make a 3D version of Times Square that's perfectly accurate right now. And what was it? It was during Obama. Jade Helm was the training of how to train Army and Special Forces on how to go in and utilize social media in real time to get real time battle intelligence. They're like, why would they want to do that? To stay up to date. And that was 13 years ago. When was Jade Helm? 2015? Maybe 11 years ago. Yeah, 2015. Now, we were the stupid conspiracy theorists. We also told you Pokemon was going to be used to track the NSA. Here, stereo over Jane Helm exercise in Texas was fueled by Russians, says former CIA director. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, it was, the exercise was being run. It was an admitted exercise. Oh, the hysteria. People actually asking questions. See, if you ask questions about anything, you're just a Russian. That's all that means. Asking questions. All right. That number, 512-266-0642. I've got James, Bart, Sean, Leslie, and another Sean. Sean in Cali, Sean in Alaska. We're going to go to all of you. We've got, oh, the next 6 minutes here in this hour, and then we got all the next hour. I've got more videos and stuff. But here, let's go to James in New Hampshire, wants to talk about ticks and a documentary and a recommendation. Go ahead, James. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing, Rob?
Doing great.
I love when you host, by the way.
Thanks.
About the tick thing, I've seen, like, no more ticks. It's weird. I think my chickens ate them all.
You know, I saw a video the other day, and it was a guy holding, he had a puppy, and he was holding, like, opening the ear up and moving the puppy around, and everywhere that there were ticks, the chicken was sitting there pecking them off. And the dog was just chill. He was like, yeah, get the ticks. You might be. There's also guinea hens. They say guinea hens are great for getting ticks. So you got a lot of chickens in your yard?
Only four, but I just let them run around.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the best tick repellent.
Like hawks can get. Ever watch Europa, The Last Battle?
I did not.
Well, I recommended it to you one time, and you said you were going to watch it. But it's like
I hardly watch TV anymore. I don't have time.
Well, I mean, it's on BitChute. That's the only place you can find it.
Where? On where?
BitChute.
BitChute. Okay.
But anyway, it's really interesting.
Is it about migration?
That's part of it.
Okay.
Like the later, it's like 10 episodes. It's really long. It's like 10 hours. But,
yeah, I might have seen part of it because now it sounds similar because Europa is about Europe. It's not about some far off planet or something or a moon of Jupiter.
It's basically about like the German side of the story and like Hitler and like how the Jews like declared war on Germany and like boycotted. It's like the Nazi side of the story, basically.
Okay.
But anyway, have you heard of, what's this dude's name? This kid, I figured you don't want to work with a Jew.
Yeah, I was going to cover that story, actually. So one of Trump's, his anti-Semitic czar or whatever, was like, yeah, we're going to make sure this kid never works again. Yeah, Leo, here it is, Leo Terrell.
No, it's not that. That's not his name.
Well, no. Well, that's not his name. Leo Terrell's the government account, the chair of the DOJ Task Force to Combat Anti-Semitism. So that's this guy's. He's a DOJ official. So he's going after this kid. What's the kid's name again? Do you have his name?
Austin Franco. He went to Cornell.
Yeah.
And he just said, I don't want to work with a Jew, thanks. And they're like flipping out. And on Fox News, they covered it. And it was Kaylee McEnany and like Emily Campagna. They like flipped out. It's so hilarious. You got to get that clip.
Yeah, we'll look for that. Let's play this clip right now. This is, you guys just had it up there. This is a guy talking about the chair of the DOJ task force to combat anti-Semitism. That's how crazy it's gotten at this point. But here, yeah, off of a 19-year-old kid just saying, hey, I don't want to work with the Jews. Okay. That's all. That's his right to say that. It's his right. And that's not anti-Semitic. He has no power. He's a student at Cornell. So all he says, I'm not interested in working for Jews. Who cares? But you want to make it a big deal. Now we're going to make it a big deal. Here's that clip.
All right, this is crazy. He did this on his official government account. When you go to the account, it says that his title is the chair of the DOJ task force to combat anti-Semitism in America. Like, what? The DOJ, or we're investigating anti-Semitism. We are planning to charge people with crimes for this? Like, why does that even exist? Does it exist for any other religion or group? Whatever. Anyways, from his official government account, he talks about how he's going to go out of his way to help basically make sure this 19-year-old kid never gets a job. This is nuts. I think this is nuts. I think this is a form of weaponization of government. I went through the weaponization of government after January 6th. I believe this is another form of weaponization of government and intimidation by the federal government on a 19-year-old kid because they said something he did that they didn't like. That is crazy. Whether you agree with what the kid said or not, that's irrelevant. That's irrelevant. We're going to ruin a 19-year-old kid's life because he said something that you don't like, because it's something that offended you. Dude, if your feelings are and your emotions are that you're that immature emotionally that you're going to try to ruin a 19-year-old kid's life. He didn't make anything threatening. They didn't say anything, want anything bad to happen to anybody. He said a word you didn't like, and you are going to try to ruin his life. You shouldn't be working for the government. I'm sorry, but I don't think you have the emotional.
Yeah. All you're doing,
maturity.
You can kill it. All you're doing there is creating an entrepreneur. That's all. Oh, you're not going to let me get a job anywhere? Okay. Well, I'm going to use my Cornell education and I'm going to start my own business. That's all you've done. Okay. Don't hire me. I mean, why do you want to go work for a Fortune 500 company anyway? They can take your time. No, that's all. Austin Franco is going to be successful because of this. We'll be right back. James, stay on the line.
Your arm been hacked off by a homeless person with a samurai sword? Try Shilajit gummies today.
A guy in Venice Beach just got his arm nearly hacked off by some tweaker with a samurai sword. And as of 4:15, he is still on the loose. And seemingly, the reaction from our local government is basically like, oh, shit, like, these things just happen. Like, this is our new normal. F*** that, dude. I want to live in an LA that is safe to go out, where I don't have to worry about walking around and getting my arm hacked off by some tweaker looking for drugs.
Sorry, I ate a Shilajit gummy. Sorry, I thought I could finish it before that clip was over. You caught me. Shilajit gummies, folks. We're not joking. They're very good. Shilajit gummies. Are you a leftist idiot that thinks it's normal that men get their arms chopped off with swords when trying to go to the beach in California? Shilajit gummies are for you. Consumers of Shilajit gummies, they know places to avoid. If you want to avoid having your arm nearly cut off by a sword in Venice Beach, California, you need to be taking Shilajit gummies today. I do love these things. They are really delicious, but they really do give you a kick. And you only get to take one. This is the worst part of Shilajit gummies, is you want to take multiple, but you're only supposed to take one. You can take more if you want. Also, I love the Modern World Survival Stack, a massive discount if you get three products together. It's the Shilajit capsules, the Atomic Defense, and the CMOS capsules, which are packed with vitamins, minerals to support overall wellness, thyroid health, and immune function. The Atomic Defense is for daily defense and cellular support, while Shilajit capsules support natural energy, stamina, and daily vitality. Get one or all of them now at the AlexJonesStore.com. Share the links at AlexJonesLive.com and on Rumble at TheAlexJonesShowLive.com. Shilajit.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Hey guys, I sent y'all an image. Wars of the Info sent me. It's pretty funny. Part of my peace through brisket policy that we can have. We're going to go back to James. We just played that clip of a guy talking about Leo Terrell's official government account. Says he is the chair of the DOJ's task force to combat anti-Semitism. I mean, we literally have created a post for a guy basically to say, hey, we're going to make sure this kid never works again. Some 19-year-old kid. You know, they didn't even offer him, a chance to go to a re-education camp. They're just like, no, you're never going to work again. So we've gone from re-education now to basically sticking our foot on your neck. But you know, there's a lot of people out there that are kind of sick and tired of this type of manipulation. So I don't think he's going to have a problem to get a job if he wants to, or he'll just become an entrepreneur. Go ahead, James. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, he actually has a GoFundMe and I have the link on it on my Instagram. It's my Instagram is James from New Hampshire, and it has about 11,000 and he's trying to raise 100,000. I hope it's legit, but if anybody has any, you know, extra cash, you might want to donate to him. Just help him out. But I also wanted to talk about the Strait of Hormuz. Do you think that's going to, like, collapse the economy or anything?
Well, I think I don't know if it'll collapse the economy. It's going to cause inflation, which will it's going to be problematic. Like, I think Trump has done all the stopgaps he can muster at this point. I think going into Venezuela was part of that, was to create the stopgap. If they get it open now, I mean, we've already missed planting season. It's the middle of summer at this. Well, it's not quite the middle of summer, but you know, it's the beginning of summer. You've already missed the planting season for fertilizer, but also.
Yeah. It's the fertilizer.
Yeah.
Fertilizer. It's like 30% of the fertilizer, like 20% of the oil.
Yeah.
So like, what's going to happen there?
There's a lot, but you know, Canada also makes a lot of fertilizer. I think the United States is going to be okay. Now you got places in Asia that are going to be doing that, that are going to be having problems. But also I think, you know, humans are resourceful and I think humans are going to figure out a way, you know? Yeah. It's like, it's easy to do things with fertilizer, but you can come up with alternatives.
Yeah. Like chickens can create fertilizer. You can just use chicken poop.
Yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of chickens, but also there's a lot of like, you know, In Asia, they eat a lot of fish. You can use fish as fertilizer. Ground that fish up. You know, there's a lot of things you can make into fertilizer. So I don't think it's going to be calamitous. I could be wrong, but you know, I think in the end of the day, humans are pretty resourceful. Our price is going to go up most likely. I mean, they're already I think the last inflation numbers were like 4.2%, and those are adjusted. Those you know, they leave a bunch of things out that are going up, you know, when they look at inflation. It's like when food inflation goes up, half the things they don't even count are the things that you need, the staples. You know, they always mess with the numbers. So you can't, you know, all you can trust is you can't trust a government official. What you trust is when you go to the store or the gas pump. Now gas is down. And it was down before this peace deal was even announced where I get it of the Randalls I go to a few times a month. It was like $3.20 a gallon, $3.24, I believe. and that had gone down. It was up to like 408 at one point a few weeks ago. Now, you know, it dropped 20 cents and dropped another 20 cents. And Trump was talking about even getting rid of the gasoline tax, the national gasoline tax, put it on a holiday for a bit, which would drop it about 20 cents a gallon. But that's, that's a lot for some people. You know, especially when you look at it monthly or yearly, you're saving a lot more money. So that would be great to see some tax holidays. James, I over-talked you again, but I'll get you back on for your comments on the other side. I think you've gone the longest. You're going to be three segments deep here on The War Room. I'm your host, Rob Due. We'll be right back. One more hour of The War Room.
Thanks for having me. Before I start, wanted to pitch a couple of the products there for the listeners. The bovine colostrum has been fantastic. My mom had tremendous results, similar to the results your mom had with her hair and skin. Methylene blue, the mental clarity, the focus has been amazing. I just found that I just needed to up the dose a little bit from the recommendation, and then that really hit. So definitely helps to support the broadcast. Alex, the reason you're so successful and the reason so many people chime in is because you have the best guests. That does include Victor Boot, but I will reference the legendary Gerald Celente. What does he say time after time? When there's nothing left, they take us to war.
The bovine colostrum is incredible. The methylene blue, you fund us. You're our funders, not the Israelis or the Muslims or the Russians or the U.S. government. You fund us at the AlexJonesStore.com. And the new news site for all the feeds and articles is AlexJonesLive.com. And on Rumble, rumble.com/ The Alex Jones Show Live. We'll be right back.
There it is, folks. Peace through brisket. Although, I don't wear tennis shoes. I wear tactical sandals. Tactical Teva sandals. That's my... As I've become an old man, I have gone to one shoe and one shoe only. And I have my dress-up tactical Tevas. I have my walking around the house tactical Tevas. I have my working out in the yard tactical Tevas. I have my river tactical Tevas. And I repair them using glue, because when you go in the river, they tend to come apart when you step through a lot of mud. But I found, hopefully you out there could be so lucky to find the footwear you want to wear for the rest of your life. So, all right, let's go back to James. We were discussing peace through brisket. We're discussing the task force for anti-Semitism. I'll give you the final word before I jump to the next caller, James. Go ahead.
Yeah, the last thing I was just going to say was with, like, the shortages or whatever happens with the Strait of Hormuz, I'm just worried about, like, the libtards in New York. Did you see them, like, burning buses and stuff there?
When they're going to go crazy. They're going to go crazy.
They don't know how to do anything. Like, they don't know how to grow anything or do anything. They're just going to turn into a giant, like, horde, like Mad Max type stuff.
Yeah.
And take my chickens.
Exactly. And especially when, you know, some of these people committing fraud with their food stamps are going to start, they're going to start looking at these people and going, oh, you don't get food stamps anymore. You know, what's that going to do? Oh, I got to go get a job. These people are going to start getting accountability. During the break here, I answered a text about how much raw milk and eggs do I want? Okay. That's how we do it here at InfoWars. We've got connections. And you want to make connections locally. You want to, I have two local meat connections here in town where I get most of my meat from, most of my good steaks. I get from a couple different people. So
yeah, we got farms like that too, like raw milk. The meat is like darker. It's like a dark red, like the beef and stuff. It's so much different than the grocery store crap.
Yeah. Yeah. The grocery store crap gets hit with, carbon monoxide and stuff to kill the life living on it, all the microbes and stuff. I mean, it's nasty stuff. And then the stuff we're getting is not even the good. It's not even the good American beef. It's usually the crap from South America that they bring up. You know, people are talking about the screw worm. You know, we've had screw worm eradication programs here in the United States where we sent that thing all the way down to South America. Well, now, you know, they're bringing these herds up, and those herds are the ones that have the screw worm, because those countries don't take that seriously. So you're probably eating screwworm meat out there if you're not getting it from a local rancher.
All right, Rob. Well, thanks for taking my call, bud.
Yep. Thank you. I'll check the documentary out. I do remember, I remember I wrote it down when you said it to me last time, and I probably watched part of an episode and then, you know, I got sidetracked with something else. I'm no good with these 9-part miniseries or whatever, however big it is.
It's so long and it's so depressing, but
yeah.
So, I don't know, but everybody should watch it. So just to be informed or just to have an alternative view of the mainstream narrative, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for calling, James. Let's go to Bart in Georgia. Foreign invasion assessment of ATL. What does ATL stand for?
Atlanta.
Oh, Atlanta. Let me give you okay.
Yes, sir. Let me give you a threat assessment on Atlanta and the metro area. It is really, really, really bad. I've had negative experience. Just went out to public the other day to the zoo. Nothing but women in burqas everywhere. Okay. Went over to a friend's house last week and he comes out to greet me. There's a woman in a burqa next door. And I said, hey, bud, now I know why you're selling your house. And another experience, went to go get a admission inspection and it's a woman in a burqa. Again, not just the eyes showing and there's beekeeper suits everywhere. So, I mean, Atlanta is finished. And if you guys could help me get out of here, please go to thealexjonesstore.com/redneck with capital R and buy that methylene blue.
Was that redneck /redneck? You kind of garbled right there.
/redneck with a capital R.
All right. Yeah. You know, and people out there can also make their own accounts. What's the official name of those? Cause I think Harrison has one. The affiliate links. Yeah. You make your own affiliate account. And yeah, you know, when people, you know, and Bart, you should, when you post things out there, include your affiliate link out there. Cause you never know who's going to make a big methylene blue, you know, buy and pump up your numbers.
Anyway, thank you for taking my call.
That's it. All right. Well, we'll watch out for the Atlanta. I don't like flying to Atlanta anymore. It's always a problem when you fly to Atlanta, unless you're landing in Atlanta and you're getting in a car and driving out of the city. But if you got to use that as a stopover, nah. Hey, there's Trump touting my beef for peace program right there. But he looks like he has some chicken and sausage. I guess that's pork and chicken. Yeah. There's mine. Peace through brisket. All right. Thanks for the call, Bart. Let's go to Sean and Callie. He's the one who texted me earlier about the four boxes. Go ahead, Sean. How you doing?
Doing good, Rob. How are you doing this fine afternoon?
You know, I'm in it to win it. Don't forget, let me give the phone number out again. 512-266-0642. 512-266-0642. We got a couple spots open now, so you can call in. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, definitely. You know, if I had more time to go longer, I would be gushing over Bart and your previous caller. You guys are always on point, and your products are always on point. I'm not going to do the plugging because you get a lot of that as it is, but the four boxes, you know, a while back, and I don't know if Alex and you guys can plug the riff of David Knight, but it was because of him I kind of got into, you know, what were jural assemblies and the common law grand jury and all that. You have that soapbox, you know, which is what Alex is, the bullhorn, mm-hmm. You grew up in the town square preaching. You got the ballot box where everyone votes on an issue. Hey, what do you want to make into a law? Okay. Now someone breaks the law. Now you have the grand jury, the jury box, which then decides was the law broken, doesn't need to go to trial. And then, you know, you have the trial jury. And then, of course, if those systems don't check out, then you have to resort to that bullet box. And it's an Old Testament principle. This is why it works for all the Abrahamic faiths, is that if you don't tell someone that they're screwing up and breaking the law or breaching their contract in government work, then you can't jump to the wrath of God. You have to send a prophet or a message or a notice. And something about that, Rob, makes me think about the Iran thing. We're seeing what may be enrichment on oil prices, you know, short selling and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So just that mere suspicion, if people are properly assembled, they can convene their common law grand jury. From there, publish their finding of facts regarding these oil shorts and these put options and so on. And that would stand as evidence for future court cases should people want to use it, because it'll be under sworn affidavits of what they find. So we the people do have a lot of remedy, but the people have got to get together. And there's a fellow who called in on Alex, and Alex discussed that earlier in the week. I'm not going to bring up the organization he's with, but they basically expatriate people. If you expatriate, you cannot stand in a common law grand jury because you're saying you don't want to plug into the system.
Mm-hmm.
So if you try to then go to your county clerk to reenter the system, it tells you you're incompetent in the eyes of the court because as an adult, you cannot make up your mind. So everyone needs to understand or comprehend that our right to be in the jury process is a sacred right in the Seventh Amendment, as well as in the First Amendment, and referencing the Fourth and Fifth, that has been passed on to us that we can't neglect. So many people want to get out of jury duty, Rob, and it's like, no, your employer is supposed to give you that day off. Take advantage of it. If the law is unjust, like David Knight would talk about, jury nullification, or if Red Beckman, the fully informed jury, watch those YouTube documentaries where he explains that if something doesn't seem right, all it takes is one little grandma to stick her finger up and get the case thrown out, or to get the person let free if they were framed, or, you know, just go watch 12 Angry Men. That should tell everyone that we are the final say on the law. And so it's not as hopeless as the folks behind Europa make it out to be. It's not as hopeless as the Black Pillars make it out. And the fact that InfoWars, or rather the Alex Jones Network, is still standing, kicking, and throwing punches and uppercuts and knocking out the New World Order, dude, you guys are motivating beyond what you could imagine, you know? You're like the little engine that could from a locomotive, and I'm here for it, man. Let's get on this ride and get going.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different subjects out there. And what people have to do is kind of pick their pet subject and go after it, whether that's running for office, whether that's going to city council meetings, whether that's just watching city council meetings and taking out the parts and making videos of it, or grabbing videos of this show and putting them out and spreading the word. And, you know, it's not going to turn around. You know, this is a big barge that's just barreling down the river, and you're not going to turn this thing around in a week or in a month or even in a year. It's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take people getting engaged. Since you mentioned election integrity, I had not seen the statistics yet on the LA mayor's race. And when you hear these numbers, I mean, the Indian lady definitely is behind some chicanery, because most of her mail-in ballots actually come from like the Skid Row area, which we saw from James O'Keefe of, you know, these groups getting paid $1 to $2 to $3 to create a voter registration, which then can create a ballot that never goes to the intended person. It just goes to somewhere. Those are collected, filled out however they want, and sent back, or they're told how to vote and they're paid more money on how to vote. But this is a clip. Amuse put this out. I don't think we're going to play the whole thing, but let's get through the first part of it, at least the first 2 minutes of it. But this is Bestie Friedberg spitting facts about the L.A. mayor's race. Here it is.
Is the election system in Los Angeles, specifically in California, corrupt? And is this election been stolen from Spencer Pratt? Or
I'm just asking
is
questions.
It just
there is no election.
There was no election.
There is no election.
Okay. So there is no spoon.
Your rights to have an election are gone. You are a citizen of those who tell you who your overseers are. You are no longer allowed to vote.
Not allowed to vote.
For your elected representatives. They are now appointed representatives. God. So enjoy
appointed
the appointments that have been made
appointed
for you.
Who?
Appointed by those who have constructed the matrix.
Got it. Now we understand the background. There is no spoon.
Agent Smith and all the Agent Smiths are in charge. So here's some statistics for you. In-person voting the day of the election in Los Angeles County for mayor, Spencer Pratt, 35%, Karen Bass, 29%, Nithya Raman, 26%. Mail-in ballots received before Election Day, 38% for Bass, 28% for Pratt, 20% for Raman. And then all these ballots that arrive after Election Day, 37% for Raman, 35% for Bass, 19% for Pratt. So Pratt's post-election mail-in ballots declined by one-third So statistically, the population of people that send in their ballots late reduced for Pratt by a third, increased for Nithya Raman by 80%, and Karen Bass 10% less. If you just look at the mail-in ballots before and after Election Day as a comparison, I don't know if there's a socio-political way that you can assess those statistics and assume that these are individuals casting their individual vote for who they think should be mayor of LA. And Nick, if you'll just pull up the map, which I think is worth taking a look at. Basically, the concentration of incremental votes that Nithya Raman got came around the Skid Row area in Los Angeles. And look, I'm not an election denier. I'm not someone who's historically believed the idea that elections are fraud and people have stolen votes. But when you look at the basic statistics of what happened in person, mail-in before, mail-in after Election Day, it becomes a real statistical quagmire on how did this sort of a socio-political shift happen in such a way that it did. Now, there was a report published,
go.
Nick,
we'll
if
pull
you could
it down
pull
there. And once you see how deep the rabbit hole goes, you can't just go, eh, you know, it was normal. That's how that, see, that's normal. See, the basic Dimtard out there will be like an 80% increase. That's normal. Oh, he lost a third of his support? That's normal. See, they want you to just say that's normal, and they'll gaslight you saying, well, there's no, what evidence do you have, Sean? What evidence, Sean? What evidence do we have that California elections are corrupt? Go ahead.
You know, Rob, here's the thing. Sheriff Bianco out here in Riverside County made quite a good grassroots contest, and he, of course, went against that globalist Hilton, who also seems to magically have gotten all these bots and all these numbers inflating things. Well, your sheriff, at the recommendation of an assembled grand jury, could seize those machines, just like in the Battle of Athens, where an evil sheriff, you know, seized the votes. You could seize the material and order a forensic audit. But will the sheriffs, you know, have the you know, balls to do what their people tell them to do? That's where you know if they're good or bad, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just the grassroots on the floor, you know, level. Governors, if so entreated, could actually have state troopers do things for them. We all know Clinton used the state troopers of Arkansas as his own posse to cause people trouble. Well, that goes for every state. But the thing is, the people have to lawfully assemble and light a fire under their proverbial, pardon the French, ass to, you know, get them to do this. And that's the process. You don't just yell at them outside their gilded castles. You actually serve them notice and make sure, hey, this is what we expect of you while you're in office. If you don't comply with this, I don't want to get people on wild goose chases and get them in trouble like some people from other organizations have done, but there are levers. Again, there are different government bodies that can do things. I wish Tulsi Gabbard didn't have to resign, but some of the stuff she and RFK Jr. have already exposed. Those folks at Pfizer and everyone with the COVID vaccines, they're very lucky the American people aren't like our founders. There's a lot of folks right now, you know, the phrase stack them like cordwood.
Yeah.
You know. Let's put it this way. If you remember Shay's Whiskey Rebellion, a lot of those rebels, actually, grand juries got them off the charges because the people were upset that Washington and everyone was taxing them over whiskey. And so early on, some of these founders decided they didn't like the grand juries so much after all. But back then, the grand juries were a mighty, mighty tool, and they can still be if the people put the weight behind it. So I don't know if you want to have David Knight come on to talk about that or if we want to do an extended segment later, but I know you got other callers, and I want folks to understand if you try that methylene blue, you'll be like I am, where you can work through a long, hot weekend in California, and it's like just another day. You ain't going to be lagging at the end of it. Rob, thank you for the time, and God bless you guys.
Yeah, thanks for calling, Sean. Appreciate everything you do. He actually sent me a text the other night. He does these calls where they – people just get around and talk about how to take back their government. Yeah, in fact, Sean, give out your website again so people can join that if they want to.
Sure thing. You can go to restore-america.org. That will get you funneled into each state. We have a person who monitors that and forwards your email to the people we have in different states. Or you can go to national-assembly.net and just soak in the information. It's over a decade of information. It's why we have so many oppositions and spinoffs. People will take the info and try to go profit for themselves. And they want to patent it and get us into court battles. We're like, look, we're not going to fight you in the courts. We're just going to do what's right. We're going to get the people back to their rights. Because the founders, they didn't charge you to go and be in the you know, revolution. They didn't charge you to be going and yelling the British are coming. No, you went and did it because it was the right thing. So we don't charge for our knowledge. We give it out. And if you want to abuse the knowledge, that's on you and God, you know. So
right.
I hope I made it clear. And Rob, again, thanks for the time. And I'll check in with you guys later because I do have other things in the work a little bit more substantial. I just can't blab them out right now. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. Sounds good. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you. I just drew kind of a visual representation line graph of how this, you know, voting where here's the in-person where actually Pratt was in the lead, but I have him here, but you could see, you know, they're all about here. And then his goes kind of down with the original mail-in and then way down with the mail-ins received after. And I think we're finding people we're finding a bunch of, hey, we didn't count your ballot. Your signature didn't match, even though they have a law where they can't even match the signatures anymore. That's how corrupt California is. But see, they only look at the signatures if you're voting for a Republican. And he's not even a Republican. He's just not an insane dimtard. I don't know what party that would be called. Here's the Indian ramen. She was down. Oh, and then jumps 80%. She goes from 26% to 20% of mail-in votes and all of a sudden 37%. And then you got Bass. It was at 29%. And then 38, she went up a little bit with the mail-in and then dropped a little bit for the after mail-in. But this is the idea, was to get these two in the runoff, because when you have a debate, you have a debate of no substance, of zero substance. Because all you're going to get is, oh, I can spend more money better than you can. I can create programs that don't work better than you can. I can burn down parts of the city better than you can. That's what the contest becomes. That's all. So that's what you get, LA. That's what you get. And, you know, you're going to get your globalist governor. It's probably not going to be Steve Hilton. It's going to be somebody even worse than Gavin Newsom. Get ready. It's coming. All right. I got 2 minutes left. Let's see. Let's play this clip. This is from my fraud section. The right to repair. GM and Ford are basically trying to get President Trump to create a law saying you're not allowed to repair your vehicle anymore. I'm sick of these new vehicles. They don't work. The sensors break. Don't get me started. Let's go to it right now. Here it is.
So now Ford and GM are saying they don't want us to work on their vehicles? Good. We don't want to work on their junk anyway. So if you haven't heard yet, the suits from GM and Ford went and met with President Trump last week, and they tried to get him to introduce a bill that prevents guys like me and you from working on their cars. Basically, they're wanting to restrict the Right to Repair Act because the software they're putting in their new cars is dangerous when it's in the hands of the public. But let me tell you what's really going on. You see, when Ford builds and sells a truck like this, they don't make very much off the sale of the truck. I mean, the dealership gets a piece of it. The salesmen, a whole lot of people get a piece of the action, so Ford doesn't have much meat left on the bone. So what do? Well, they try to make it up with repairs in the dealership and by selling parts for their crappy car. And nobody likes going to the dealership to get their cars repaired anymore because they overcharge, they don't tell you the truth, and they upsell everything. But this way, they could force you to go to the dealership so they could get the money for the repair. You see, it's no secret that vehicles Ford and GM have been making aren't as good as the ones that they used to make. And is this on purpose? I think so. I mean, what other reason would Ford have to put a plastic transmission pan on a nicely designed 10-speed transmission? The answer's simple. They're under-designing them in the factory and then making you pay for the repairs later on so they can make more money. And now what they're trying to do is restrict the information so you and me can't repair it, and you gotta take it to the dealership to get it fixed. And Ford's not alone in this either. GM is making crap too. I mean, their 8-speed transmissions paired up to the 6.2-liter, practically the worst powertrain you can buy right now. And even if you do take it to the dealership, they probably won't even have the parts to repair it right on site. You'll have to wait a few weeks, maybe even months. I've been trying to tell y'all these companies are doing this stuff, and now they're just being completely open about it. It's like they don't even care anymore. They're burning junkyards, building junk, and forcing you to go to them just so you could fix it. It's crazy. 20 years ago, we thought the future with vehicles was so bright and so cool, but now it's just depressing. And the only thing I know to do is just keep working and building these old vehicles, which I truly love to do. And that is what I'm going to concentrate on now. Like this dune buggy. I'm going to put a 200-horsepower Honda engine in it and make it the most baddest thing on the internet. Stay dirty and subscribe to see.
There you go. That's what's going on. They don't want you to have any autonomy over yourself. They want you to have to go to the man to get help. We'll be right back.
inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its businesses?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there in the way of it. If you look at the number of countries that have had runaway inflation since World War II, you know, in my lifetime, it's very large. Once you create that, it becomes a different world. And of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like 6 or 7 times. I mean, it's just amazing what people do. Not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So this is going to have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything. And on the
banking system. And let's be clear, though, a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed. So here's Prince Charles, the king, announcing the digital chains, the mark of the beast system. And it dovetails with Tony Blair, who's globally, through the UN and Bill Gates, standardized the world ID that the UK, under orders of the king, I thought he's just ceremonial, no, he can dissolve parliament anytime he wants, is now going into place. This all ties into everything. We'll talk to top economist and great patriot, Peter Kirkley, in a moment about it, but here's the clips.
My ministers will also proceed with the introduction of digital ID that will modernize how citizens interact with public services.
Tell us a bit about what it means for what government should do in terms of its digital infrastructure, digital ID, data centers, and so on.
The first thing a country needs to do is to unify all of their data so it can be consumed and used by the AI model. You have to take all of your healthcare data, your diagnostic data, your electronic health records, your genomic data. We have to take all of this data we have in our country and move it into a single, if you will, unified data platform.
What they do is Oracle make big donations to Tony Blair's Institute, and Tony Blair's Institute advocates for further advantages for Oracle and Oracle affiliated entities. Listen, the centralization of data and the centralization of power is part of a dark and nefarious agenda.
People are really crazy if they don't call you. You're on record the biggest company because you have the best ratings, the best gold and silver prices. It is the smart move. Get a free consultation. They can roll over financial instruments.
This should be a happy time, right? So don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. There is a path to safety here financially, and that's what tangible assets do. This is what
God
the numbers are telling us.
God always gives his people a way out, but the people perish always for lack of knowledge.
Always. He always does. He's never going to say something, even if it's the mark of the beast, when he talks about it in Revelation. He's not going to say something unless we have a choice to either accept or reject, because he didn't create robots.
KEPM.com/gold. Sign up for the email there to get a free consultation. Call you right back. Or you can call the number 720-605-3000. The smartest investment you could have made in the last 3 years. I'm telling you right now, this is the place to go. 720-605-3000.
Weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
All right, final segment of the War Room as we go through the wormhole. We got a few callers on the line. If you did get dropped, we were watching. Oh, there I am with my Hidden Valley Ranch. If we got any callers that just got dropped, call right back. For some reason, our system's acting a little funny. We're working out the kinks in this one. It's a little different than the last system, which could have like 20 callers. This one you get like 6 at a time. But let's go to Leslie right now. Leslie in Nevada wants to talk about the elections in Nevada and the crazy corruption. I have not been privy to this corruption in Nevada. I'm surprised. I'm shocked the state that Harry Reid comes from would have any corruption. Go ahead, Leslie.
Hi, Rob. So good to talk to you again.
Mm-hmm.
So I never told you this before when we were talking about my peacock, but I have a radio show in Nye County called Astral Underground. And every year during elections, my producer and I free up all the space from my show specifically for candidate interviews. Now, they know they're going to get an unusual interview because I make it wildly known that I am a witch. And so they know they're going to be sitting in the hot seat with me. But the most interesting thing is that when Roger Stone came to Nye County in 2020 to help us pick our community, our county commissioners, he talked about Michelle Fiore and what a good decision she would be for Nye County. Well, I had the opportunity to interview her because she was running for Justice of the Peace. And I also had the opportunity to pull her astrological chart before I had the interview. I ran it by whom I thought was her best friend to make sure that the questions were likable and appropriate. And I got the okay from her friend.
Wait, so you were doing pre-interviews? Is that what you're saying?
No. I was doing interviews with the candidate.
Okay.
But I wasn't sure about Michelle and her position on witchcraft and astrology. So I ran it by her best friend first to make sure I wasn't going to step on any toes, right?
All right.
Well, her best friend says, wow, no, she really wants to know this information. So she comes in the chair. We start talking. She gets really mad when I ask her about the conviction because she was convicted of $30,000 worth of election fraud. She used the money to pay for her daughter's wedding. Well, she put the money back, but did she? That's one of the big questions. Donald Trump personally pardoned Michelle Fiore. So I am a friendly interviewer. I am looking forward to meeting her. I have been thinking about her since Roger Stone mentioned her personally to me in 2020. Well, first she got very upset about that. I was pardoned, and I was curious. Pardoned? Well, don't you have to be convicted in order to be pardoned? Well, she wasn't very happy with me. So I tried to continue with the interview, and I thought I would be uplifting. And I said, well, you know, Leos are so energetic and outgoing and really flashy. Do you think the Valley is ready for a Leo judge? And she turned and she looked at me and with all spit and venom said, what did you just say to me? And I leaned back. I'm a little aghast. And I said, do you think the Valley is ready for a Leo judge? And she said, that's it. This interview is over. And she slammed down the microphone. She stood up and then she turned and she said, and keep your witchy to yourself. Oh my goodness.
Well, I mean, astrology and witchcraft are not really the same thing, are they? I mean, I guess there's some overlap.
No, they're not.
And so you just made a comment about her being a Leo and she got all.
Yeah. Oh, completely. Walked out of the interview, called me an effing witch, like that was an insult. And then told me to keep my witchy crap to myself.
Wow.
And, yeah, it was really shocking. You know what? I also had the opportunity to interview Cody Whipple for Congressional District Number 4. He was a gem. He told me what his sign was. We chatted about it. We talked about him playing football and all kinds of good things. And everyone else I interviewed thought that the interviews were amazing. She was the only one that flipped out. It was really disappointing. Oh.
Did she end up winning?
No, she didn't. She lost.
Hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, I guess don't piss off the witch. But she didn't really piss me off. She just, it was just alarming. And I thought you would want to know because Roger Stone is a friend of the InfoWars. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize how important Nye County is in national politics. We are right beside Las Vegas. And all the people who were shot and killed in Las Vegas are buried in Pahrump. That's one of the reasons why Art Bell had such an interesting show. The Valley is loaded with ghosts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Art Bell definitely was. He was kind of the king of the late, late, late night radio. We started coast to coast, and now it's Well, John B. Wells did it for a while, and who runs it now? Who runs Coast to Coast now? I forget the name. George Norrie. Yeah, George Norrie does it. Yeah, very, very interesting. Somebody just put all of Art Bell's stuff back on online too. You could check that out. I mean, as if there's enough time to listen to 3 to 4 hours a night of Art Bell with all that's going on. Pretty crazy. But all this stuff can be made searchable now, which is pretty neat. You can find clips and clip them out, just like you could do this to the Alex Jones Show. Guys, let's pull up our Rumble channel to show people where they can go. Because you can find stuff on X, but X is just kind of a pit where you just keep throwing stuff into it. Thanks for the call, Leslie. Appreciate it. And, but like our Rumble channel is where you could literally go. It's rumble.com/The Alex Jones Show Live. And that's where you're going to find everything from The Alex Jones Show. Well, that's the War Room Live, but show them The Alex Jones Show Live. That's the other channel where you could go. We've got the little, it's weird watching me flail my arms around. That happened like 3 minutes ago or whatever from the chat, but there's a live chat you can participate in. So we got the War Room Live, also the Alex Jones Show Live. Both of those you could get on, watch the shows, also catch past episodes, and then search for things. We have the clips on there as well. Let's go to Michael in Ohio, right at the top of the list. Michael wants to go talk about the Iran peace deal. Go ahead, Michael.
Going to make a comment too on the peace through meat thing. You should call it piece of meat.
Piece of meat. All right. Yep. Piece of meat deal.
Like PEACE.
Yeah. PEACE. I got it. That's how I wrote it. I wrote piece of meat.
Yeah. I tagged you on X in it and I was like, man, maybe he'll say it. But I was like, I made it in on Colin. But
there you go.
Real quick, too, you know, what I seen with the whole White House thing, I mean, it's great. I love America First and all that, and we do need something to lift our spirits, but I'm like, could it have just been somewhere else other than the White House? All I could think the whole time was Idiocracy, dude. I was waiting for President Camacho to bust through the door with an M60 and just be like, woo! You know, so.
I mean, Trump is kind of President Camacho. You know?
Close. I think Terry Crews would be much cooler. It'd be so much more entertaining. But we get Trump. Yeah, I voted for him, so what can I say? But anyways, I think the Iran peace deal is a fluke. I mean, not only because Israel's already came out once again and been like, no, we ain't doing none of that. But to the fact that, I mean, if you see who signed it on the Iran side, it's the speaker of their parliament. Like, it's not even one of their leaders.
It's their Mike Johnson.
Yeah. It'd be like our Mike Johnson signed it, and they'd be like, oh, Mikey signed it. That's real nice, you know. So it's just, and the stock market went way up. So, you know, it's more pump and dumps by Trump. And it's, I don't know. I'm kind of fed up with it. I've really removed myself from a lot of it other than just kind of catching brief tidbits. But it's like Alex said, you know, is this in the 40s now or at the times that he's been like, oh, peace deal reached. And
yeah. So, and, you know, maybe at some point, maybe when it hits like 55, he'll go, you know, we just can't make a peace deal because Iran's going to keep mucking it up, and he's going to have to put some screws to Iran to get this to happen. Look, we got some actual. This is some pre-show from the UFC fight right here, I believe. We got it on stage right now. There's a. Oh no, wait, that's Idiocracy. We got this guy. Not sure. He's going to fix all our problems. I know it's bad right now. Yeah, great. Great movie. And, you know, now it's become a documentary. You know, they had the Nitro Circus guys doing flips and stuff in front of the White House. Yeah. You know, I'd rather see our money spent on that. At least people are having a good time and it's promoting the country rather than, you know, bombing people on behalf of the Israeli government, which is what we're doing now. So, you know, that's where we're at. Anything else, Michael?
No, sir, man. Thank you for taking my call, Rob. Great show as always.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Take care, buddy.
I love taking your calls. We got a few more on. I want to go to, we were talking about fraud last segment. I'll keep the fraud going this segment. This is a, I remember this in college, and it wasn't fraud necessarily, but it would be, you know, you'd get your loans from the government or your federal grants, and you'd enroll in classes, and then there would be people who would do this, and then they would just drop out and get the money. They would get that money back. And so they did this in order to keep living their college lifestyle. You know, not thinking about the future, going, oh, you're going to have to pay this back at some point. I paid back all my college loans, but there was, when I got out of college, it was, I think I owed like $15,000. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to put it in forbearance for 6 months. Well, after 6 months, it jumped to like 22,000. And then as I was paying the minimum for a while, and it kept going up, and I'm like, man, I got to get a handle on this. So I just started paying it off, and eventually it went away. But man, they really stick it. I had one of the government loans. So it was only like at 4.5% or something, but I knew people who had 18% interest on their loans, which I think is criminal, to pay that much in interest on a loan. But here is Minnesota flagged more than 7,700 ghost students in its state college system. So they'd enroll under fake identities. Oh, I wonder who gave them that idea. Apply for financial aid, pretend to participate long enough to trigger the payments, then disappear. So it's costing taxpayers $12.5 million. And that's just one state in Minnesota. So online classes filled up 50 seats in 2 minutes, but only two students were real. So then you also have these schools going, oh, we have all these people. We have to hire more teachers and increase the cost of the schools. And then, oh, there's only two students. So then you've wasted all this money. But, you know, the university's like, well, we're not going to fire these teachers. We're just going to charge students more, and they will get more in loans. So the process continues. But here's a news report on it.
Five federal lawmakers are moving forward with a bill to combat so-called ghost students. It's a nationwide problem, and it's happening here in Minnesota as well. It involves scammers enrolling in colleges, applying for financial aid, then pocketing the cash without ever stepping foot in a classroom. Fox 9's Mike Manzoni joins us now to explain. And Mike, state colleges just got some extra money to actually crack down on this problem.
Yeah, Karen, this problem mostly impacts community colleges. The Minnesota state system says it flagged more than 7,700 ghost students in the 2024 to 2025 school year. The system says it received $3 million to help verify students' identities and prevent this fraud. A fraud expert walked us through how ghost students get away with it.
They enroll in college under a fake identity. Sometimes they might even show up online and pretend to engage for a period of time. They do whatever it needs to be done to trigger the disbursement of financial aid, and then they disappear.
Give me my money.
So the student never existed, but the money is real.
And the education department claims that the Minnesota state ghost students cost taxpayers $12.5 million. But the system disputes that, saying it never sent any money to the bogus students and, in fact, took them off its rolls. And that's another problem here. Ghost students take seats away from real students.
One online class that had 50 spots, as soon as it opened up, within 2 minutes, all of the spots were taken, right? So this professor thought he had like this really hot class that he was going to be offering. And it turns out only two of the students enrolled in the class were real. The rest were all fake.
And the bill at the federal level would flag colleges that enroll ghost students and allow for audits and other oversight measures. It still, though, needs to pass the Senate before heading to the president's desk, Karen.
Wow, interesting. All right, thank you, Mike. And financial aid money typically goes directly to colleges. So how do ghost students actually get their hands on some of this money?
Experts say the money first goes to the schools, which then take their cut for tuition. Then they send over anything that's left to those ghost students, who then pocket the money.
Oh, so I guess that's probably like room and board and meals and things like that. That's usually included in the aid. All right, you mentioned that ghost students mostly go after community colleges. What makes those schools so attractive to fraudsters?
Well, there are a couple things here. One, they're typically open enrollment. That means really anyone can sign up for the classes, so it's one less step for them to go through. They're also usually smaller and sometimes have fewer safeguards because they're designed to be accessible, though the Minnesota state system says it's implemented various protections now since uncovering those ghost students, Karen.
All right, Mike. Thank you. Great report.
And back when I was in college, they also had a system
where if you left after a couple weeks, you get all your money. And then if you left after a few more, you get 80% of your money and then 60% and then 20%. So you could get your money back. And the school tried to keep you in there, of course. But if you withdrew, you got money. I saw friends of mine do it all the time. And then they would live like kings for a while. They were the ones buying all the beer. And, you know, who knows what happened to them. But that's kind of how it goes with when you give people unlimited money for school, the school just raises its prices. And like that, you saw 48 of the 50 students were fake. So they're like, oh, we got a hot class. We should make more of these classes. And then those get filled up. And it just, the cycle continues. All right, let's go to Sean in Alaska. He wants to talk about oil prices. And he's an oil field worker. Go ahead, Sean. How are you doing today?
Doing well, Rob. Thanks for taking the call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I work in the Valdez oil terminal here. And we put crude oil on the tankers. And it gets shipped out to Seattle and Los Angeles. And I just want to talk about how this oil crisis, I think, is manufactured because we could be filling a tanker every 12 hours off these two berths. And, in May, we shut one of them down for maintenance and they could easily defer that maintenance. And we might only get three tankers a week, which is pretty slow, and they could increase the capacity if they wanted to.
Hey, let me ask you real quick. Do you guys get tankers from other countries or is it just mainly domestic?
So that's the other thing we've been talking about is Trump said that we've increased our capacity and we're now the largest exporter of oil, which can't be true because I think we've only had one flag tanker from overseas since this oil crisis started. It's just our normal tankers that the polar tankers and that mm-hmm. deliver down to Long Beach and Seattle. And I think it's all manufactured. And I have a buddy that works in North Dakota in the oil field, and he said it's super slow there. So.
And this is before it gets refined, right? So you are sending stuff that needs to be refined?
Correct. It's crude oil.
Yeah. Yeah, that's and the, you know, with the price dropping, that's going to be even less incentive. What's the price point where it hits where then it doesn't become advantageous to even pull the oil out of the ground?
I don't know. They say here in Alaska that it's got to be at least $45, $50 a barrel for them to profit.
Okay.
But, I mean, we've cranked out tankers before way more than this capacity-wise, and it's been super slow. And for us to be in an oil crisis, everyone's wondering, like, what's going on? It seems like it's almost manufactured and intentional.
Well, we're not importing oil at all anymore, according to Trump, although we may be getting some from Canada, but I mean, our gas prices shouldn't be affected by the price of oil, essentially, because, you know, we're not having those supply problems. We have plenty of supply, and we're bringing it in from Venezuela as well. So it makes you wonder, you know, what these markets are. Is anything real anymore, you know? Stock market, is that real? You know, Elon SpaceX, stock options, you know, stock drop. You know, is that even real? Is anything real anymore? You know, because it's like you said, we got people on the ground say we don't have that much. We're not busy. We're not at capacity. So you guys could do double what you're doing now and still be, you know, not working at your, not redlining it and nothing's going on.
Fill one every 12 hours if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Two berths.
And you're doing several, just a few a week.
That could be four tankers a day, and that's a million gallons or a million barrels on each tanker.
Yeah.
Which they could. And I mean, it's super slow. Yeah. Like I said, we might get three, four a week.
Are you guys able to track the Strait of Hormuz to see if ships are actually going through it? Cause Trump said, you know, we're pulling ships through it at night and stuff like that. Do you think that was real?
I don't know about that. That's on the other side of the world. And like I said, we just deal with our domestic tankers here. They're pretty strict as far as they have to be double hauled and made in America. And, but since the oil spill, but anyway, I'm just saying that, you know, we've done it in the past. We've had foreign flag tankers come in here and, I think during COVID they were doing it, but yeah, we were exporting to China and South Korea and some other places, but yeah, we could be cranking out way more. And I think it's just manufactured to create a crisis.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what they need, because when you have a crisis, you have control. You can make control over things. Thanks for the call, Sean. Let's go to Anonymous, calling from, we don't know where, but go ahead, Anonymous. Yeah. Anonymous, are you there? Sounds like your mom has your Hot Pockets ready. Hello? How's it going, Anonymous? Can you hear me? Are you all right? We're going to drop Anonymous. Let's go to Evan in Ohio. I guess they're taking Anonymous is getting his order taken. He's either in a restaurant or his mom's got his Hot Pockets ready. That's what it sounded like. Somebody's in a kitchen. Go ahead, Evan, and from Ohio.
Hey, Long Island, not Ohio.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Did you participate in any of the chicanery after the Knicks won?
No. I'm in Suffolk. I'm like rural Long Island.
Okay.
Yeah, Long Island's like a metropolis island type
right.
of thing.
It's
like
yeah.
a little bit of everything. But
go ahead.
I was calling to see if you guys could get Michael Tesarian back on the show. I haven't seen him on the show in a long time to talk about the Israel Middle East conflict. The other thing was you guys have always been like the frontier for new information and speakers and discussion. There is a few topics that I've seen the mainstream really poo-poo that I don't know if it really deserves a headlight, but there's a lot within this community that we're in, because I was a barber for a long time. I'm out on head injury recovery. But a lot of people who follow you guys also follow various other conspiracy topics. I'm sure you've heard of it. The idea about the potential society that was gone, such as like Tartaria, basically that Tartarian technology and stuff like that. There's various people online who speak about it, such as Improbable Dreamer, I forget the other guy's name. But I would like to have him come on for discussion. And then I don't buy into the flat earth type of stuff, but I do buy into the idea that I really don't know what it is that we are on. I mean, I could give, if there's information for either, all this stuff, I looked into this stuff tremendous amount and I don't know where I lie with it. But just the idea like you have, what's his name? The famous astrophysicist, deGrasse Tyson,
mm-hmm.
He won't even give credit. He won't even give scientific discussion to flat earth people. Like he won't debate them. He'll just laugh at them. He'll mock them in their face. But if he's actually a scientist and actually wants to debunk the claims of the flat earthers, of people who are questioning it, like you guys had Witsit Gitsits on there. It'd be interesting if you guys could get like Flat Earth Dave on there.
I think we had him on before with Eddie Bravo at one point. We did have Flat Earth Dave on. I think here's the key. You got to keep an open mind. I don't think we know all of history. History has been rewritten. History's written by the victors, whoever those are. And right now, they're globalists who control everything. So with that, that's the end of our show. Thank you for calling. You can find me on X at News News, DEWSNEWZ. This is The War Room. Coming back will be Alex Jones tomorrow at 11 a.m. Central. You can find everything at alexjoneslive.com.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life.
Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.